The movies are back, baby, and if you're looking for a weekly podcast to keep up with all the new releases and all the hottest news and rumors coming out of Hollywood, check out Movies, Baby, with five Y's. Is Emma Stone on track for greatest actress of all time?
What's the best Godzilla movie of all time?
What's up with John Cena?
Love Lies Bleeding? We'll take more where that came from.
What movie should have won Best Picture at this year's Oscars?
Hint. The name of 2 months, and they ain't close together.
Those are just some of the topics we've discussed on recent episodes of Movies, Baby. Every week on Movies, Baby, Forever Dog co-founders and lifelong movie fanatics Brett and Joe break down the hottest movie news, review the latest releases, shout out forgotten classics, and prophesy the future of Hollywood. You can listen to Movies, Baby, wherever you get podcasts, and you can watch Movies, Baby live every Thursday night on YouTube at Movies, Baby with five Y's. Movies, Baby!
Oh, that's right. Do you hear it? My friends, it is time for the best show. My name's Tom Sharpling. We've got an exciting show planned for you tonight. We're going to do the Build-A-Movie game throughout the show. You know how that works. Basically, you call with a few actors and a movie genre, and I'll build the movie right in front of your ears. And if that weren't enough, we're going to be on the lookout for who is the most famous person listening right now. Good heavens. Who is it? If you are that person, call 201-332-3484. Or if you have access to that person, you get them to call. I'll give a prize to the best, to the top of the pyramid. And then we're also talking about final movie roles. What are those final movie roles? But, my friends, this is the moment you've all been waiting for. You know it's popular these days? These recap shows are so popular, right? The post show. The post show. And it's all these people, all these super fans gathered together, one trying to out-fan the next. Well, I'm excited to announce tonight is the debut of my show, Talking Thrones. The twist, though, I've never seen the show. So we're doing a recap for a show I've never seen. Welcome to Talking Thrones. And I want only people to call now who have never seen Game of Thrones, 201-332-3484. Be my guest on Talking Thrones. The only recap show hosted by someone who's never seen the show. Welcome. Apparently this is the theme music to the show. I downloaded it 15 minutes ago, bought it from iTunes. It was $1.29. Apparently this theme is by Raymond Jewaddle. It's called Main Title, and it is the theme to Game of Thrones. So this week, a very exciting episode of Game of Thrones, from what I pieced together third hand from social media. The snowman is back. Look out. Apparently he's back. And he'll kill you. I think. Not sure what that means exactly. Welcome to Talking Thrones.
Hi, this is Dave in St. Paul, and I've never seen the show. So.
Well, how about this week's episode, Dave?
I thought it was great with the wizard, right? The wizard?
The wizard. When the wizard went to the top of the mountain with his staff, and he was just like, "I condemn thee!" And then the skies parted, right?
Great.
And then what happened after that? Was it a giant flood or something? Or is that the Bible? I think that might be the Bible. I think that's Moses. Where he was just like, winter is coming! Remember that scene? Exciting. Thanks, yeah, bro. Welcome to Talking Thrones. Who's this?
Hi, this is Marshall in Manhattan. How you doing, Tom?
Marshall, have you ever seen Game of Thrones?
Never.
Well, I would like to welcome you to Game of Thrones, the recap show for people who've never seen Game of Thrones, Talking Thrones.
I thought the dragon was underused this week.
Did you think that the dragon was going to win the fight, though?
Well, I don't know. I thought that the dragon it didn't have enough fire.
Ah, interesting. Interesting. You thought that the dragon, the fire-breathing dragon, did not have enough fire.
Yeah. Didn't have enough fire, and just seemed, I don't know, to not have, like, a strong through line.
An intriguing point. Do you think next week's episode, the dragon will have more fire? Do you think that's a possibility?
Probably not, but I'm still rooting for it, you know? It's a fan favorite, that dragon.
Now, apparently there's a woman who controls the dragons or something?
Uh-huh, yeah.
From what I heard?
That's what I've heard.
I'm not exactly clear on that, but I guess she, like, tells the dragons what to do or something?
Yeah. She casts spells on the other side of a mountain, and she has red hair.
But then that wizard with the long beard and the giant hat, when he was like, "We must destroy the winter!"
I thought it was mankind.
Mankind must be destroyed! Winter is coming!
This has been very educational for me.
Thanks, bro. Welcome! To whom am I speaking?
Hi, this is Tony from Hopedale, Massachusetts.
Tony, have you ever seen Game of Thrones?
No, I haven't.
Well, let me welcome you to Talking Thrones!
Thank you. This is very exciting. I've always wanted to talk about a TV show that I've never seen.
Who's your favorite character on Game of Thrones, Tony?
Well, I think it's a woman named Sirius or Cirrus or something like that.
Yes, she's a great character.
Yeah, I was a mythology major, and she reminds me of a mythological character.
Yes. Are you worried about? I'm starting to suspect that we're going to get a little appearance on this season of Game of Thrones by the one and only Medusa.
Ooh,
right?
You think so? She'll be turning people to stone.
Do not look into her eyes. Thou shalt be transformed into stone.
Right, a magic mirror. They can get a magic mirror.
That's what you got to do. And then maybe a robot owl.
Maybe that snow guy can help out.
Snow guy.
Yeah, the
Yeti?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like a Yeti?
Yeah.
That'd be cool. Do you think the Yeti would fight the dragon by any chance?
I think he would probably fly on the dragon.
Whoa. That's pretty cool. You think, is that how this season ends, maybe? With a fight? A Yeti riding what is it now? It's a Yeti riding a dragon, fighting the wizard?
Right, an ice dragon.
An ice dragon,
right.
Who shoots like cold ice out of her or his mouth, right?
I think. Right, out of her nostrils.
Yes.
Yeah.
That sounds like it. No spoilers. No spoilers.
Okay, well.
Thanks. Hello?
Yeah, is this Talking Thrones?
This is Welcome to Talking Thrones.
Hi.
To whom am I speaking?
My name is Kevin.
Kevin, have you ever seen Game of Thrones?
I have never seen it ever.
Well, welcome then to Talking Thrones.
Thank you.
What's your favorite thing about Game of Thrones?
Well, I think it's the all the people that keep dying.
Yes, it's always a twist and a turn. Who's going to die, right?
Right. So I mean, Peter Dinklage, if he died.
If he died, that would be something else.
I mean, on the show.
Well, yes, of course. We're not talking about
not actual life.
Peter Dinklage's. We hope he lives as long of, and fruitful
a life.
Is he
the king of the show?
Stephen King.
Yeah, is he on it? Is he involved?
I wonder if there's a chance Stephen King might show up as a wizard at some point, right? With those terrifying David Koresh aviator glasses.
Yeah, I am a wizard.
I'm okay with that.
That Maine accent. He's a wizard from Maine, right? Because a lot of the time, people don't realize that we're talking about Wisterios.
Is that the name of the country?
I am not exactly sure. I've heard people say Wisterios a whole bunch. And apparently it's a place. But I know winter is coming to Wisterios, so look out, Jack. Hello, to whom am I speaking?
This is David from Maryland.
Hello, David. Have you ever seen Game of Thrones?
I have never seen Game of Thrones.
Then please, let me welcome you to Talking Thrones!
Thank you, I'm excited to be here.
Who's your least favorite character on Game of Thrones?
My least favorite character? Probably the mistress.
Ah, the mistress.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of her.
Do you think she has something up her sleeve, perhaps?
I think she has a lot up her sleeve.
Intriguing. Intriguing!
Yeah, I've never trusted her.
Me neither. Hello, to whom am I speaking?
Hello, this is Brent in Los Angeles.
Brent in Los Angeles. Have you ever seen Game of Thrones?
I have not.
Then let me welcome you to Talking Thrones! The only post-show recap program for people who've never seen the actual show. Any predictions for this upcoming season?
Everybody's been talking about all of the nudity related to the show. I think they're going to have to expand upon that in order to keep it fresh, you know, keep it sharp, keep surprising people.
So how, they'll expand upon it with more nudity?
Well, they might just mix it up. Like, I don't know, last week's inclusion of Rowan Atkinson was a surprise to me anyway. And I know he has a history of ending up nude in comedic situations, but...
I could not believe that they... I don't know how they got the rights to Mr. Bean, but apparently they did. And watching him battle that orc was very exciting. Watching Mr. Bean battle that orc. Very exciting.
Absolutely. One of the highlights for sure. And the montage of him trying on different battle outfits leading up to it, I thought was hilarious.
When he put the suit of armor on backwards? And then
was rolling on the floor.
When he was walking around the armor store with the helmet on backwards. Thank you. Final call. Let me ask you, caller, to whom am I speaking? Question number one.
This is Steve from Staten Island.
Steve from Staten Island. Question number two. Have you ever seen Game of Thrones?
I have never seen Game of Thrones.
Well then, Steve from Staten Island, welcome to Talking Thrones!
Excellent.
Final thoughts on last week's episode. The snowman is on the loose.
Yeah, I was on the edge of my throne.
Yeah. Now, when does the throne show up? Does anybody have any idea when the throne makes its first appearance?
I think there's one at the end of every season.
One of every season, at the end of every season. So we're like six in, I think?
Yeah.
And winter is still coming?
It's been a long, long winter.
Yes, I think that's a Counting Crows song, right? Do you think that dude will be on Game of Thrones at any point?
I used to have dreadlocks just like that guy.
Adam Duritz? What if he turned out to be the mayor of Wisterios? Right?
Isn't that... Some of that place is based on Staten Island, I think.
I thought it would be based on Bayonne.
Well, I think he was, like, looking across the river at this, like, disgusting place.
Hey! Staten Island rules. Get off my phone. Get off my throne. Right? That's what we say on Talking Thrones. Get off my throne. Well, my friends, that concludes another episode of Talking Thrones. The only recap show hosted and populated by people who've never seen Game of Thrones. Until next week, or next time, I tell you, Game of Thrones, keep watching, and it is time for the best show! I said, it's time for the best show! There it is. Back! Another Tuesday night installment. Who am I? Well, my name's Tom Sharpling. I'm the host of the show. First things first, what did we just hear musically? Oh my goodness. How about that? Two for Tuesday! Neil Michael Haggerty and the Howling Hex, their new album, Denver. Back to back. Colfax West and Random Friends. That's such a great album. And look, is there a lyric that says something about the DJ had a coconut latte, he told the man to put it on ice? Yeah, there is. Am I a DJ? Yeah, I am. Do I drink coconut lattes? Yeah, I do. Do I drink them iced? All the time. Does Neil Haggerty listen to the show? Absolutely. I have no idea if that's about the best show, though. No idea. Wouldn't want to say. But I will say this. The album's on Drag City. It's so good. It's more than so good. It's so great. That's one of the best albums of the year already. How about that? It's only May. We've already got a top contender. All those people pushing that Grateful Dead tribute album. How about you listen to something new? right? Really? I got to listen to Ween do Papa John's Band or whatever that song is. Got to hear that. Thanks, but no thanks. Got no time for that noise, man. Ween. No one likes it. No one wanted it. They still don't. And if they think they do, they don't know any better. Someday they'll realize. George R. R. Martin. Somebody said that we should do best show, that we should do Game of Thrones recaps, and that's why I did that. Somebody on Twitter said that. So thanks to whoever that was for kicking that off. You planted a seed, and it grew into a mighty tree. Mighty oak. The phone number, 201-3-3-2-3-4-8-4. My, oh my, don't we have an exciting show planned for you tonight? That's right. What do we have on the table? Well, all throughout the program, I want to talk to you about showbiz. Tonight's topic, everything has showbiz running through it. That's why the hashtag tonight is Best Show Showbiz. Because we want to know about, A, who's the most famous person listening? If you're that famous person, you call. Or, if you're sitting there with a famous person and you can wrangle them and get them on the show, then you call. You call and you stick the phone in their face, as long as they know that's what they're doing. Then we're going to do the movie game all night. Build a movie. I'll build these movies right in front of your face. You throw a few actors up and a genre. We'll build it. Right there. Right in front of ye. And I'm also curious about final movie roles. Because you think about these people, like I was looking on IMDb, the Internet Movie Database, and I was looking at Sid Caesar's body of work. And I'm not putting anybody down for these things. It's just like it's kind of the way it works is you end up doing, like so many people end up doing some turkey down the home stretch. And it doesn't have to be literally the final movie. It can be down the end of the career. Like, Sid Caesar did something called Comic Book the Movie. This is a guy who, like, gets all this credit for, like, inventing all this stuff. Then suddenly he's on the set of Comic Book the Movies over at the craft service table. Eating M&Ms. Being like, don't you remember? You know, I remember when we were doing the show and I had your shows and I had the writer's room. Yeah, that's very nice, sir. Any chance you might not, you could use the tongs to pick up those paninis? You know, we had Larry Gelbart, Woody Allen, Mel Brooks, Carl Reiner. That's great, but right now, Jan Michael Vincent is trying to do his scene. So, if we could just be quiet on the set, please, sir, then we'll get you in for a Comic Book the Movie. So, yeah, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about all sorts of stuff. 201-332-3484 is the number. Grand old time, man. Grand old time. Of a grand old time tonight. I do have, on a more serious note, Mike is not here tonight. He did send an email explaining. I guess I can read this. Dear Tom, so sorry I will not be in attendance for tonight's best show. Something came up and it's very serious. I can't talk about this in detail right now, but basically, an incident took place at Masses the other night. Wally Wacky Man came in. He was clearly drinking. We got into an argument. One thing led to another. And I murdered him. Oh my God, I'm reading this for the first time. Associate producer Mike, he's saying he murdered Wally Wacky Man in a bar fight. Oh no. Oh no. Oh no. I buried his body in the Bayonne swamps. Swamps? They have swamps out there? I guess so. I'll take his word for it. He will never be found. I don't know when I will return, but please, above all, know I love you. Oh, that's nice. I love the best show. But most importantly, do not read this on the air. Oops. Uh-oh. Guess he's on the run right now. He's got purple felt on his hands. So I guess what I need to say is, first of all, rest in peace, Wally Wacky Man. I guess it's kind of fitting that Mike, that you were shuttled from this life by the hands of AP Mike. That makes sense. And for people who don't know who Wally Wacky Man was, he was a puppet who used to call the show occasionally. And, yeah. Yeah, so rest in peace, Wally Wacky Man. You had a good run, and I don't know. I guess we'll see. We'll see you on the other side, bro. And Mike is on the run, so who knows where he is? Now he's probably in. This is what I'll say. I know a little bit about the way Mike thinks. He's probably following the path of the song Take the Money and Run. So he's probably headed down south. Where else did they go in that song? Headed down to El Paso? Mike's probably in El Paso right now. Probably getting into a great big hassle. If I'm telling you this, though, if you've got a castle, look out. Because Mike's probably going to try to rob it, and you're going to get shot while he robs it. So, castle owners in El Paso, be forewarned. AP Mike's on the loose. He's got puppet blood, purple felt on his hands. I guess I'll end up probably being in court. Testifying either for or against Mike. Not sure yet. We'll see how that goes. Couple things I want to tell you about tonight. Hey, Dudio?
Yeah?
Is that your phone by any chance?
No, it's not. Oh, wait.
Here we go. Oh, wait. There's a phone making all sorts of sounds in here.
Yeah, I had it in here for the setup.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. That's strike three.
All right.
That's strike three, bro. Strike three of four. That's strike two. Look, since Mike's not here anymore, I got to ease up on Dudio. Man, if I owned a castle right now in El Paso, I would be terrified. Somebody knocking across your moat. Well, Wally, we'll miss you. So, a couple exciting sponsors for tonight's show. Let me tell you about them. first thing I want to tell you, I'm going to debut a song, a band, this really good band, Modern Baseball. They stepped up to the plate. No pun intended. Ugh, I regret that one. Sorry, guys.
Hey, everybody, this is the B-Man, OBW, from the World Record Podcast, and I'm here to let you know that me and my co-host, the A-Train, a.k.a. Hershey Hellman, took over office hours live this week. We came into the studio. We made it our own. We wrecked the place. I stole one of Tim Heidecker's guitars. So check out Office Hours Live on your podcast app of your choice or at youtube.com/Office Hours Live this week and see what happens. Or go to worldrecordpodcast.com and you can watch the videos or join the Patreon, patreon.com/worldrecordpodcast. Enjoy the show!
It's showtime!
Because Run for Cover Records is their label. Band called Modern Baseball. They have an album called Holy Ghost. It comes out on Friday the 13th. I guess one good thing's going to happen on Friday the 13th is the release of Holy Ghost by Modern Baseball on Run for Cover Records. And you can pick up a copy of Holy Ghost at runforcoverrecords.com. Runforcoverrecords.com. And you catch them on their summer tour. They're on a headlining tour with Joyce Manor. And we're going to play a song by them. Look, I want to thank these guys. This is very thoughtful of them. They're a Philly band. Philly, humble Philly roots, Modern Baseball. I love it. And we're going to check it out. They got a song called Stanger Rises. We're going to listen to it. Right. I guess this is the premiere of this song. So let's check it out. And if you want more info on this, you go to runforcoverrecords.com. Modern Baseball. Let's take a listen to Stanger Rises. Right. Got to stop that. And I'm going to play this. Let's check it out right now. World premiere. Best show. Modern Baseball. Legitimately good. I want to thank them for sponsoring the best show. So you know what you do? You go over to Run for Cover Records, runforcoverrecords.com. The album comes out on Friday, Holy Ghost. And you go see them this summer when they're on tour with Joyce Manor. And that's the B-side. Stanger Rises. Thank you, Modern Baseball. And Run for Cover Records. Another thing I want to tell you about, Squarespace. That's right, guys. Squarespace. You've heard us talk about it before, and you've been like, I want to do a website, and I want to put the thing out there that is the reason I'm here on Earth, my passion. I want to put it out there. Well, Squarespace is how you do that. You don't know about computers? No big deal. Squarespace, you don't have to know coding to build that website. It's simple and intuitive. You can add and arrange your content and features with the click of a mouse. You get a free custom domain. They make adding a domain to your site simple. If you sign up for a year, you get a custom domain for free for a year. And you, if you have any help, if you need help, they got 24/7 online customer support. Every member of the customer care team is an experienced Squarespace user working in a Squarespace office, so they know what they're talking about. It's used by literally thousands, hundreds of thousands of savvy shop owners around the world, including all the tools you need to track inventory, process orders, and send custom emails in one intuitive interface. You can't beat it. Look, we don't know computers, guys. We're the people with ideas. You got ideas, you want them out there. You want to get you just want a landing page, you want a gallery, a blog, online store. It's all included in the Squarespace website. So here's what you do. Start your free trial today at squarespace.com and enter offer code BESTSHOW to get 10% off your first purchase. That's squarespace.com. Enter offer code BESTSHOW to get 10% off your first purchase. And their tagline, as usual. This has been, they ran this one up the flagpole. They ran it back down. They love it. Squarespace. Build your website, bruh. Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring tonight's best show. Wow, I'm being told Wally Wacky Man is alive. So we're getting conflicting reports here. Mike wrote and said that he murdered him at masses. Wait, who's out there? Is that Mike out there? Mike?
Yeah.
And Mike's here. So what is this? I feel like I'm the butt of a joke. A very sick joke. I feel like I'm the butt of a sick joke. Yeah. Well, it's an email. Well, it's in that weird typewriter font. The one that only weirdos send emails in. You get these weirdos, and look. What do you think you're Walter Winchell sending an email? Send an email with a typewriter font? Just use the font they put on the thing. Interior, my laptop. I'm writing you an email. Me. Good evening. Stop it with the weird fonts with the emails. Only ends up looking dumb. Best show.
Here.
Hello, welcome to the best show.
Hello, this is Josh from Los Angeles.
Josh?
You got it.
How are you tonight, Josh?
Oh, just fine.
Glad to hear it.
I had a question for you. Hamilton.
Yeah, what about it?
I gave it a try, and I think it's just terrible. It made me laugh out loud.
Well, you saw it?
No, I listened to it. I downloaded the thing.
I'm sure it did. Yeah. You're supposed to go see it. You listen to it.
Okay, good point.
Yeah. supposed to see it. Then maybe it makes sense. Look, I didn't see it. I want
to
see it.
Did you listen to it?
No, because I want to see it first.
Okay.
I'm not going to chip away at it. I want to see it first. I want to experience the whole thing the way they meant you to see it and hear the songs. Didn't mean for you to hear half of it first.
You know what? I'm not going to argue with you. I think that's a good point.
I'm supposed to trust you. You're listening to this thing with one ear cocked to the thing. The other one, you're scrolling God knows what website.
I did actually legitimately listen to it. Uh-huh. And
it didn't make sense because you didn't see it in front of you. I'll say this.
Yes. Go ahead.
Somebody get me these Hamilton tickets. I know it's a cliche thing. That's some laugh, bro. You got to work on that. Get off my phone. And Mike, let's go easy on the dudes tonight. I know you can't help it. I know you can't help it. That's it. We take who calls. Best show.
Hi, this is Thomas. I got one for the movie game and for the final roles.
Let's hear the final roles first. What's your name, bro?
My name is Thomas.
Thomas, good name. Where are you calling from?
Camden, Delaware.
Ah, Delaware. Home of Delaware House.
Yeah.
The crown jewel of 95, right?
Yeah.
People driving through. They stop. Maybe if they want some Sbarros, right?
Yeah, if they can find the Sbarros, yeah.
Yeah. So what do you got for the final role? We're talking about final movie roles.
So for the final roles, we're going with the Transformers movie from 1986, the animated one.
That is the final role of Orson Welles.
And Orson Welles and also Scatman Crothers.
What?
Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
So Scatman Crothers, he did Zapped, and he was still just like, haven't hit the bottom yet.
Right, yeah.
Zapped. Remember that movie Zapped?
I don't know that one actually.
It's like a dirty teen movie. There were all these dirty teen movies after Animal House and Porky's.
That type. Yeah.
There's this movie Porky's, which is one of the trashiest things a human has ever come up with. Porky's. Mm-hmm. Where it takes place in the 50s, and it's in Florida in the 50s, if I remember correctly. And it's like, it's just like these horny kids just being creeps. Just creeps, straight up creeps, staring in the girl's shower. Yeah, that's a crime you're committing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm going to look in the shower and see. Oh, yeah, that's a crime. Okay, well,
right.
Have fun in jail, pervert. And then, exactly, God, yeah. I don't even want to say what he does. You let your lewd imagination run wild down there in Delaware. I'm sure you can fill in the blanks there.
Yeah, I'm sure I can.
So, and it's also got a Kim Cattrall in it, in one of her early roles, where she plays like a horny teacher or something. It's just filthy. It's so filthy. And it made so much money that there was this wave of movies following Porky's, like Zapped, which was starred Scott Baio, and starred Scott Baio and Willie Ames, and they were like, Scott Baio gets like these powers. It's like a dirty superhero movie. Like, I think he gets, like, mind control powers.
Okay, yeah.
And then he just starts, like, staring. Like, it's just, he's like a junior sex offender in this thing.
Right.
Should be caged. Right?
Right. And this
could have been an X-Man movie. They would have, the Professor X would have, like, taken his power, put him in, like, a plexiglass cell.
Right, yeah, put him in I'm in the mutant jail.
Yeah, mutant jail.
Yeah.
Zapped. So how did we get to Zapped again? Through Scatman Crothers is like a janitor in Zapped. If I remember correctly, somebody like puts like weed in his food or something. He starts hallucinating.
Oh, geez. I think I might have seen like a clip of that actually somewhere.
Yeah. Poor Scatman Crothers. Having to show up. The script for Zapped shows up. His agent. Scatman, you did, Scatman Crothers is like, I did The Shining. He's like, what kind of scripts are coming in next? On the heels of The Shining. And he thinks it's going to be like a Martin Scorsese movie is going to come in or something, right?
Right.
We got this thing called Zapped. Scatman, it's called Zapped. He'll be like, who's directing it? I don't know. Look, they're paying. They're gonna pay us in cash, Scatman. You're a janitor in a school with a sex pervert. With a science fiction sex pervert. It's like, remember you just did that movie with the kid Red Rum who had the mind powers?
Right.
It's kind of like that, except it's nonstop nudity.
And that, yeah, oh, it's probably like what the kid from The Shining grew up to be with his mind powers.
Danny.
Yeah, Danny.
Danny. Do you know, it turned out, The Shining, that those big wheel shots, that was product placement. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Big Wheel paid $2.5 million to get that in the movie. Isn't that sick? That movie's basically a commercial. It should just say, Big Wheel presents The Shining.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And they had a scene where they didn't make the cut, where he's riding the Big Wheel through the maze, being chased by Jack Nicholson. And Jack Nicholson finally just goes, that big wheel sure takes the turns pretty sharp. And then Danny goes, yeah, it's a really well-made big wheel. But even that was too much for Stanley Kubrick, for the master, Stanley Kubrick. Right? The master.
Had to leave that one on the floor.
So, look, I appreciate the call. I don't want to hear you build a movie. Thanks. No offense. A long show ahead of us. Best show.
Hello?
Hello, yes. Welcome to the best show. To whom am I speaking?
Hey, Tom. This is Adam from Orlando.
Adam from Orlando. What's going on in Orlando tonight?
It's going pretty well. I got dinner with my sister earlier, so we got to catch up a bit. I haven't seen her in a while, so it was nice.
What did you eat, Adam?
There's this place in Orlando called Lee and Rick's. They have, like, seafood and oysters, so we went there.
And what did you get, a po' boy?
No, those things are gross.
What? No, they're not.
I haven't had a good one then, especially in Orlando, at least.
Step it up. I don't know what to tell you, bro. Step it up. What did you get? Fried fish platter?
We split oysters and then crab as well.
A crab. Did you just drop a crab on the table?
Yep.
What can I do for you, bro?
So I was listening to the podcast version of the show last week. My girlfriend graduated college, so I wasn't able to listen live. But you were talking about Smash Mouth and how they were going on tour this summer, and I actually saw them a couple months ago.
You did?
Yeah.
Where'd you see Smash Mouth?
So over at SeaWorld in Orlando, they have
SeaWorld
barbecue.
Wait.
Yeah.
Hold on. Back up 1 second.
Okay.
SeaWorld in Orlando.
Yes.
They have a barbecue?
Yeah, they do this event called Bands, Brew, and Barbecue.
But they're not cooking like the fish from the thing.
No. They don't serve fish at the barbecue.
Okay.
It's like chicken
goodness.
And ribs and stuff. Yeah, that'd be a little weird.
That would be very weird.
Yeah.
So you go to the thing.
So I know one of the people in the promotions group. Mm-hmm. So I ended up connecting with her, and she ended up giving me these meet and greet lanyards.
To meet Smash Mouth.
Yes.
So how did that go? Was it before or after the show that you met Smash
Mouth? It was about an hour before the show.
An hour before the show. So this is Smash Mouth, a pre-show meetup.
Exactly.
How did that go? Tell me about the Smash Mouth pre-show meetup at the Orlando SeaWorld barbecue cookout. The Brews. What was it called again? Brews?
Bands, Brew, and Barbecue.
Bands, Brew, and Barbecue.
Yeah. So we get our meet and greet. It's me, my girlfriend, and my two other friends. Mm-hmm. So we find out that we get one picture with them. So we're deciding, like, okay, should we go in a group? Should we go separately? So we decide we're going to go separately. And I was like, should we do something, like a pose? And my girlfriend goes, I've got the best idea. Let's put L's on our forehead.
Ah, a reference to the...
Yes.
To the lyrics of All-Star.
Yes, the classic.
He was looking pretty dumb with his finger and her thumb in the shape of an L and her forehead. Right?
That's exactly right.
So you put L's, you drew them on your heads?
No, we, so.
Oh, you held your fingers. So you held your fingers and your thumbs in the shape of an L on your forehead. You literally did the lyric.
Exactly.
To the song.
Exactly. So we get in line. I'm the first one to go up, and the band comes out. I go over. I shake everyone's hand. Everyone's really cool. Mm-hmm. So I go up, and I do the L on my forehead, mm-hmm. and the lead singer looks at me and goes, really, bro? You're doing that now? You're banned.
I love it. You swear this is what happened.
Yeah.
You got banned by the lead singer of Smash Mouth.
Well, he was joking, but he literally said those words.
I got to say this, and I don't say this that often. I'm with the lead singer of Smash Mouth on this one. You blew
needless
it.
To say, yeah. And needless to say, no one in my group decided to do the L on their forehead after that.
I'll say this. You were looking pretty dumb. Right?
I was.
With your fingers and your finger and your thumb in the shape of an L on your forehead. You brought the song to life. You got burnt. You got burnt by the lead singer Smash Mouth.
I guess I can cross it off my bucket list, you know?
Yeah, you got smushed, right?
Yeah.
Thanks, bro. Best show.
Hi, Tom. This is Chris.
Chris, from?
I'm Portland, Oregon.
From Portland, Oregon. What's going on in Portland, Oregon tonight? Are you still stunned by the basketball game last night?
No, I'm not.
Why?
I've gotten over it.
Oh, did it hurt last night? It hurt, right?
It hurt people that I know. It didn't hurt me personally, so I feel bad for them.
Because the Portland Trailblazers were up on the Golden State Warriors, and then at the last minute, Stephen Curry, the MVP of the basketball, the NBA, he goes off and just scores a ton of, he just takes over. And wins the game.
I heard it was brutal.
It's what makes him great. I know what that's like. I saw it. I was like, yeah. That's called every Tuesday night for me, bruh. You do that in overtime, I do it every Tuesday night. Just get me the ball. Just get me the ball. That's what I say. You know what gets me about these Golden State Warriors is that it's like, it's a team. It's like they got this one guy who's the best, one of the best players in the history of the NBA. And then the rest of the team is like a bunch of clowns who think they're better than they are. And there's this one guy, Draymond Green, who like, he's always like flexing, like rah, like making his muscles like when he like dunks or like gets a rebound, he does that. And then it's like, hey, your team would be terrible if you didn't have the best player on it. but he's acting like because he's got Stephen Curry. As I see some guy saying, I'm the only one who says Steph. Yeah, I do. I'm four. I don't know. I'm not going to call him Steph. What, am I friends with him? What, am I at the Brews cookout, the cookout with him at SeaWorld? I don't know him. So what's going on tonight?
I was calling about the final roles topic.
The final roles. Who are those final roles from the end? And look at this guy. You're wrong. Here they come, all the people. You're wrong about Draymond Green. No, I'm not. You take the best player off that team over the course of a season. That dude's a rocket, is what he is. He's a Houston rocket waiting to happen. He ain't no Golden State Warrior without Stephen Curry. He's a Houston rocket in training. And I know what I'm talking about, for goodness sake. Go ahead with your final role.
It's the final role for Groucho Marx.
Okay. Now, what would that be?
The 1968 Otto Preminger movie, Skidoo.
That's right. Skidoo, one of the, a legendary movie, which I've never seen. It's one of those kind of train wreck type movies.
Yeah. It's a German dude in his 60s making a counterculture movie all about LSD.
Yeah.
Starring Jackie Gleason, who's trying to kill Mickey Rooney. And Groucho Marx is like the sort of mastermind who's named God. And you don't really see him until the end. And then the last time you see Groucho Marx on film, it's him in a boat smoking a joint with some dude as they float away.
And that was the last movie he did, Skidoo.
Yep.
All right. How about that? That's a rough one. After that film, that storied career to end up with Skidoo.
It's hard to watch, yeah.
Thanks, bro. Best show.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, to whom am I speaking?
Tom, you were speaking to Greg in Seattle.
Greg in Seattle. Hey, Greg, hold on 1 second. Hey, Mike, let's liven it up with Nandu. Okay. I mean, because this dude sounds like a top-notch snooze. I have him on mute right now, so he can't hear me. This dude sounds like a five-star snooze, and I'm having a hard time. Can you make some coffee? This dude is putting me to sleep, Mike. You know, but this dude, I guess espresso's probably, if I have to talk to this, this dude's putting me out. All right, let me get back to it before this dud hangs up. Hello?
Hey, Tom. Yo, I'm looking actually in my house for a rock star right now.
Hey, yo, I love how you clearly heard everything I said, and then to try to sound lively, you went, hey, Tom, yo.
Hey, that's just how we speak out here.
You're all right in my book. What's your name again, Greg?
Hey, I'm Greg. Yeah,
Greg, you're all right in my book, Greg. So what's going on in Seattle now?
Well, in Seattle, I just got home walking the dog, but I
what's your dog's
wanted
name?
To talk. My dog's name is Charlie, and he is so sweet.
Charlie, but, what'd you name him after?
You know that John Steinbeck book, Travels with Charlie?
No.
Oh, well, it's a good book.
I thought you were going to say you named him after Pope of Greenwich Village. What if you trained him to bite people's thumbs, right? That's what you should do. Train that dog to attack thumbs, and then you're just like, Charlie, he got my thumb. Charlie got my thumb.
He could maybe gum a thumb. He could gum a thumb.
Charlie gummed my bleeping thumb. So go ahead. So you got home, and now what were you saying about rock stars?
I wanted to perk myself up, and rock stars are a classy energy drink.
Rock stars, the beverage.
Yeah. I don't actually drink that stuff. But, hey, so it's my first time calling.
Welcome.
My old roommate Jenny got me into the show. I've been listening for a while. But I wanted to talk about Tinder. Do you know what Tinder is?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, yeah. So I recently signed up for Tinder.
It's not your stand-up. You're not doing your stand-up now, are you?
I am not.
I recently signed up for Tinder. Does anybody here know what Tinder is? I recently signed up for Tinder the other day, and I deserve this. No, go ahead. I'm interested. We're playing around. We're playing around, Gene.
I know, but I'm trying to play back. So I signed up for Tinder.
Okay.
I've never used it before.
Yeah.
Haven't been on the dating scene for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I found it's like really hard to find people.
This is your stand-up routine.
No, I promise it's not a stand-up
routine. So you find it's hard to find people.
Yeah, find people that are, you know, actually interesting to talk to. So I haven't had any good results with it yet, but I added Friend of Tom to my bio. And I want to make a request to anyone listening in Seattle to also add Friend of Tom to their bio.
Yes.
So, like,
that's a fair request.
FOTs can meet up and, you know each other.
That is a fair request. If you are on Tinder, add Friend of Tom to your thing. Maybe you meet someone. At least you have one thing to talk about. The best show. Right?
That's the best thing to talk about.
Thank you, Greg.
Cool. Yeah, thank you, Tom.
Well, you have a grand evening. Best show.
Oh, hey, Tom. It's John from Maplewood.
John? Oh, my goodness. As I live and breathe, John from Maplewood. As I live and breathe. How are you, John?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
I'm well. For people who don't know, there's guys and gals. People call this show over the years, and this guy is one of the people who's always been there. He's New Jersey dude, John from Maplewood. He's a quality caller. So let's clear a path for a quality caller and let him do what he does. Sit back. If you're at home listening, get your notebook out. And you're wondering, you're sitting at home, you're wondering, how do I put together a successful call? This is right now the master class is about to take place.
I think I better hang up right now.
Now, John, what's going on?
Oh, not much, not much. Well, first of all, I wanted to say that last night I did my first time going to a karaoke bar. Like, I've never done it in my life. And last night, I finally broke the seal and did it. It was fantastic.
Was it in New York?
It was in New York on 32nd Street.
And was it one where it was an actual bar or rooms?
It was rooms.
Yes, that's the way to go. These people with these, they do the karaoke bar thing, I don't get that. I'm not doing that. I'll rent a room. Rent a room. Sing the songs in front of everybody.
Yeah, because then you're, you know, also you know everybody there. It's either, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but, you know, it's a little more isolated, and that's a good thing.
Helps you feel comfortable.
Yeah.
So what songs did you do, Joe? What songs did you do?
Well, I was nervous at the beginning, so I went with something somewhat slower and easier. I just did a Frank Sinatra song. I did In the Wee Small Hours. But then I did four other songs. I did Bootylicious by Destiny's Child.
Wow.
I did Delirious by Prince.
Yes.
You're So Vain, Carly Simon.
Mm-hmm.
And finished off with a few people doing Love Shack.
That, for a first-time karaoke experience, that sounds like a rock-solid showing.
Yeah, I think it went pretty well. I regret it, though, afterwards. I realized, you know, I'm also a kind of a closet fan of Rage Against the Machine, and I really wish I had done Sleep Now in the Fire. I think that would have been a good way to go out.
You're not ready. You're not ready, John.
No.
I'll just tell you that. You're not there yet. Maybe next time. I think you're two karaoke's away from Sleep Now in the Fire.
Okay.
Because you'll get up there and you got to feel it. It's hard sometimes. You're doing that karaoke and you're not sure what's what with it. You think you got a handle on this thing, and then you don't. That's the hard part. You're up there. And then you're just like, why isn't this working? Right? And you're like, why in the karaoke? I can't figure the song out. I don't know what to do. I think I'm confused. And then this would be you. You can't hear it. Oh. The Nina! The Princess! Santa Maria. You'll get it next time.
Oh, and that was the part I was looking forward to doing the most. Yeah. Oh, well.
But the other parts are the hard parts, the whispery parts. Those are the ones like, oh, I forgot about this. Oh, no. Words start showing up on the screen. You're like, I don't know what this is.
I try and sing it instead of whispering it.
Yeah. Soon you'll be there. So what's going on, John?
Well, not much. I wanted to know, is it too soon to give you some actors and a genre to put together?
No, let's start it. Let's start the Build-A-Movie game. What do you got?
Okay. Sam Waterston.
Okay, let me write this down.
Steve-O.
Okay.
Irwin Allen disaster film type thing.
Sam Waterston and Steve-O
mm-hmm.
in an Irwin Allen movie.
Yes, and it doesn't obviously have to be Irwin Allen, but it could be a disaster film.
No, let's make it a straight up Irwin Allen movie.
Okay.
What if we do something called Water Tower 1999, right?
Okay.
You know, there's all those giant water like, what if it's like, what would happen? I could picture Irwin Allen asking this question. What if the biggest water tower in the city... I'm trying to think of a way to do it, because it wouldn't be that much water, right? Is that...
It would have to be a really big water tower.
Yeah, like, what's the biggest water... What about those silos? You know, you go into those silos?
Mm-hmm.
What if they're dudes who, like, rescue... Like, Steve-O's the young, brash rescue squad type dude.
Mm-hmm.
And Sam Waterston, it's his last day. What's a good disaster? What if... Sewers? Let's think. What if it's... What if it's like what's that giant dam?
The giant dam, like the Hoover Dam?
Yeah, the Hoover... What if it's just called Hoover Dam, right?
Okay. Hoover Dam.
Sam Waterston's a scientist.
Right.
Right. And he notices... He notices that there's some structural problem with the Hoover Dam, right?
And no one's paying attention.
And no one's paying attention. And Steve-O is just this dumb, like, park ranger, right? And then they, like, when the Hoover Dam breaks, like, it cracks. What state is that in?
I think it's in Nevada.
Nevada, okay.
I think.
If that thing went, what would start getting flooded? Would Las Vegas get flooded? How far away is it from Las Vegas? I don't know.
It's pretty darn close to Las Vegas. I don't know if it would get flooded, but we could...
For the sake of this movie, we're going to say that Las Vegas is in jeopardy. And people are part... There's a giant convention. It's the adult film convention. No, that's not good. No, let's not do that.
Okay.
Not the adult. What could it be? What if
it's... The technology convention that they have, or, you know, the one where they usually...
Yes, well, here's what it is. Here's what it is. That's perfect, because what it'll be is the people who are sabotaging the Hoover Dam are hoping to wipe out something that's at the tech showcase.
Yes.
They're hoping to wipe some of the scientists out. Right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So they're at the Hoover Dam. They have to stop this thing from reaching Las Vegas, where it's going to wipe out the scientists. And somebody just said on Twitter, Hoover damned. I don't know about that. That's stupid. Sorry. Sorry, St. Vincent RuPaul. I do like your name, though. What if Sam Waterston, should he be the mayor? Is he the mayor of Las Vegas who's telling people not to worry?
Maybe, and maybe Steve-O is the one who actually nobody, he works at the Hoover Dam and nobody really trusts
yes,
him.
Yes, that's exactly it. Steve-O is the one who nobody believes his yes. his deduction because he's a, like a moron there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And he figures out something bad's going to happen. Nobody listens to him. And then when the thing breaks because it was sabotaged.
Right.
Only Steve-O was the only one who knew the truth.
Right, and Sam Waterston's like the mayor in Jaws or something, right? Like he's just not having it.
Yes, exactly. I love it.
It works.
And we're going to go with Hoover Damned.
Okay.
No, we're going to go with Las Vegas DOA is what it's called.
I'd go see that with my whole family.
Wouldn't you see DOA : Las Vegas? Would
yes,
you see that movie?
I would see it tomorrow.
All right. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
DOA Las Vegas. Would you see that, Mike?
I
wouldn't. You wouldn't?
I would.
You would. Right? Oh, Mike wants to do like a William Castle type thing where water splashes on people in the theater. I don't know. Mike, we're going to have people. These theaters are going to be packed out once we announce this cast. That's right, folks. Sam Waterston and Steve-O are both in this movie together. No pushing, please. There's seats for everyone. There's more screenings. People, please. Calm down. Everyone will get a chance to see the Steve-O, Sam Waterston, Hoover Dam movie. Who's good here? Best show.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. To whom am I speaking?
This is Kim from Bloomington, Indiana.
Kim?
Yes.
From Bloomington, Indiana. What's going on in Bloomington tonight?
Just hanging out. Had an audit at work today, so just relaxing after that.
How did the audit go?
I'm not sure yet. I think that it went well.
Okay.
One can only hope.
I hope so, too. I hope it went well, too, unless you're up to something. You're not up
no.
to something, are you, Kim?
Nope. Not yet, at least.
Then I hope it went well.
Thank you, Tom. I'm not a celebrity. I do know a famous cat, but I don't think she'll call in tonight unless maybe she's listening. But
a famous what? Famous cat.
Yeah.
That cat is called. If you're from Indiana, I think we've talked to that cat before, right?
Yes, you have.
All right. Well, that's
a very special cat.
That wouldn't count anyway. We've talked to him. We can't, the return guests don't count.
Okay.
So what can I do for you tonight, Kim?
I've got something for the topic. I also have a make a movie for you.
Okay. Let's start with the topic. Let me rest my my brain for a minute as you tell me the other thing.
Sure. Well, It's a fantasy.
Okay.
And it's... Are you ready? Or that's
oh, I'm ready. Let's just do it.
Okay, that's what I was... Sorry, I'm sorry. That's what I was...
Don't worry.
For.
Don't worry. Let's do it.
Okay. It is a fantasy, and it is with Sarah Jessica Parker, Bill Hader... Kristen Wiig, Paul Hogan, and Jerry Ferreira.
Hold on a second. So you're talking about SJP. Who else? You're muffled there, Kim.
Oh, sorry. Bill Hader.
Bill Hader. Okay.
Kristen Wiig. Paul Hogan, Crocodile Dundee.
Yes, that's right.
And then Jerry Ferreira. The last two, my partner. It was like, you've got to add these to your list. So.
And it's a fantasy.
it's a fantasy going off of Talking Throne.
Hmm. A fantasy. Starring. Well, it seems like it's got to have some sort of comedic angle to it, right? We can't have all these. Because these are essentially comedic actors we have in this.
Yeah.
So, it's not going to be like Your Highness, though. You know that movie, Your Highness?
I don't know that movie.
It's a movie that David Gordon Green made. You know the guy, he did George Washington.
Okay.
And then he did Your Highness next.
Okay.
Yeah. So, it's not going to be like Your Highness. I would say, what if we call it? Not like a Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Not one of those things, right?
Maybe it could be like a parody of a fantasy. Maybe not, though.
What if Jerry Ferrara plays a leprechaun, right? Okay,
perfect. Yeah.
It's called Leprechaun School. You ready for this?
Okay. Yes.
It's called Leprechaun School. Jerry Ferrara is like a flop of a leprechaun. Because to be like a leprechaun, you have to be, to actually be like run around putting gold into like, to get to the big show on St. Patrick's Day, you got to get through like Leprechaun School.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Academy.
Yeah. Leprechaun Academy. Yes. I love it. You're right.
I wrote down leprechaun and I think I misspelled it. I'm writing all this in gel pen just because I like to do stuff with my hands.
Leprechaun Academy. Jerry Ferrara is a buffoon of a leprechaun, right?
He needs straightened out.
And then all of the leprechauns, what if something happens like Paul Hogan's like a SJP and Paul Hogan play like the dean of the, they like run the leprechaun school, right?
Yes, perfect.
Bill Hader is
disciplinary.
Bill Hader's he's like the leprechaun most likely to succeed, like, right?
Yeah, the all-star know-it-all.
Yeah, he's like the all-star know-it-all leprechaun. Maybe he's Jerry Ferrara's big brother, even.
Yeah, and Jerry's just living in the shadows of him, trying to be more like him, but just, sorry.
You caught yourself. You caught yourself. Very good. I like that.
Thanks.
So you caught yourself. So he's... But then what happens? So him and Kristen Wiig, is she trying to take over the Leprechaun Academy?
Yeah, maybe she is. She's from another, she's from like the bougie leprechaun school. And this is more like
the bougie leprechaun school.
And this is more like the public leprechaun school.
Ah, so.
And she's trying to take over.
So what if SJP and Paul Hogan are king and queen leprechaun, right? They run, they're like pretty much they run this leprechaun school and they're the ones who have to like approve, who get to pick who the main leprechaun is to go out and head up St. Patrick's Day, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's going to be Bill Hader, but then Kristen Wiig traps him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they're just like, who's going to be the leprechaun to go? And the only reason Jerry Ferrara gets to go is because since they're brothers, they have like the same like handprint or something, right? That like,
yeah, same DNA, leprechaun DNA
that operates the rainbow.
Yeah. Yeah.
There it is. Leprechaun Academy. There's your movie.
Excellent.
Thank you.
I love it.
All right.
Thank you, Tom. Have a good one.
You too. What do you think of that, Mike? Leprechaun Academy. So far, we've got DOA Las Vegas, starring Sam Waterston and Steve-O. And then Leprechaun Academy, starring Sarah Jessica Parker, Bill Hader, Kristen Wiig, Paul Hogan and Jerry Ferrara. How do you do it, Tom? How do you do it? I don't know how you do it, bro. But you do. You impress me. You impress me, Tom. Thanks, Tom. Oh, by the way, next week on The Best Show, next week, you've all waited for it, for 1 hour, the Tom Personation Hour. For 1 hour, I will have to sit here listening to you, The Best Show listener, do impersonations of me, and the winner will win a prize at the end of the show. How's that sound? You ready for that, Mike? You can't wait on this one. This is like Christmas for you to watch me get crushed. He can't wait. Leprechaun Academy. I would see that. Best Show.
Hey, Tom.
Hello.
Hi. This is Pat in D.C., and I'm calling with one for the final roles for myself. And I also have one to
wait for your final role. You're announcing your own final role? Oh, no.
No, don't worry. I guess my final role was probably in that middle school musical that my middle school music teacher wrote and was terrible. Mm. Other than that. The famous and great actor I wanted to discuss was Peter Lorre.
Peter Lorre, who people might know from, what's the thing people know him from most? Knight of the Hunter?
Casablanca. M. The Maltese Falcon, right? He's not. He's a weird little German guy.
He's the guy
who's
the
weird little
like,
German guy in Casablanca.
Who's like, yes. Right?
Yeah.
That guy? Let's say yep. Mike, actually.
Yeah.
Yes. Hey, it's me. Hey. Play it again, Sam. Right?
Yeah.
So So Peter Lorre's final role, the storied film actor.
Actually his final two roles are both really great.
Okay.
His second to last film, penultimate role, was in a Frankie Avalon and Annette Funicello movie named Muscle Beach Party. The tagline on the poster is "Flex your way to fun with Frankie and Annette."
Flex your way to sun.
To fun.
Flex your way to fun with Frankie and Annette and Peter Lorre.
Yep.
Yes. Welcome to the beach. We're on the beach.
Yeah.
So, what's his other role?
Then his final role was in a Jerry Lewis movie named The Patsy.
He was in The Patsy.
Yeah.
Wow. That.
Yeah. That was his final role.
Yeah. Well, it's a hard biz, man.
Yep. Yeah, and I was reading he had like some health problems, and then that combined with depression from his failing, the downfall of his career and being in these movies, he had some chemical addictions. Mm-hmm. I'm really bringing it down. Sorry.
That's all right. Somebody's saying that Peter Lorre's final role, they're saying it all over Twitters, that his final role was Booberry, which I guess what? Did that, they got some sound-alike dude to do the thing for the cereal?
I don't know.
How does that feel for like Peter Lorre's like family when they're just like, I think this cereal ghost is doing dad's voice.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Is that dad? No, it's just some actor doing a cheap knockoff of his voice to push sugar poison on children.
Yeah.
Booberry. That, look, as a kid, I loved a Cocoa Puff as a kid. Yeah. I would be lying if I said I didn't love a Cocoa Puff.
Yeah.
And not the Cocoa Puff from the movie Flight. Not that, which is a cigarette with cocaine in it. Not John Goodman's character. You need a Cocoa Puff, man. That'll get you straight. Put you on the dark side of the moon.
No, I wasn't accusing you, Tom. Don't worry. Worry. So,
I liked a Cocoa Puff, and I liked the occasional Captain Crunch Crunch Berry with the pink purple Crunch Berry, right?
Yeah,
butter Captain Crunch. I was not averse to.
I was gonna say I even liked the there was like this just Reese's cup like candy cereal.
Yeah, that's past my day.
Yeah, no, I still can't believe that I actually ate that stuff and that my parents bought it.
But this is what I want to say. I got to say, even as a kid, you had to know you were kind of trashy if you were eating Lucky Charms. And you're kind of trash kid, like trash kids like that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. No,
and like a trash kid would be like, I want to eat Lucky Charms and Count Chocula. And it's like, really? Can't get enough candy? Yeah. Like, even as a kid, you know, it's like, yeah, that's a little too far for breakfast.
I will say that was only a very occasional thing for me. I was most times ate the Quaker Toasted Oat Squares. I'd slice up a banana on there.
Ah.
And add, like, a teaspoon of sugar.
Yeah. Isn't that always funny? Put a teaspoon of sugar on that. The thing's nothing but sugar. And you're just like, let me put a little sugar. And I'm saying I did it too. Not on Cocoa Puffs though.
Yeah.
But just the idea of like, just going as a kid, you're like, okay, I'm having these, Rice Krispies and a little sugar for the top. Like, as if you're eating the healthiest thing ever that you couldn't, the only way you could choke it down would be with a tablespoon of sugar on top of it. Oh, I'm eating the healthy stuff. I'm eating Frosted Flakes and a little sugar for the top. They're frosted. What do you think the frost is? So, all right, bro.
All right. Oh, and then I wanted to forward one from Twitter, from Tavy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That she said,
the kids in the hole are in a movie. I'm kidding. Now, I'm kidding.
Mary Wicks, who I think was more, and I'm forwarding this, so I don't have the full, I'm not going to claim to do perfect justice to Tavy's choice. But she was a, you know, longtime character actress and did a lot of stage stuff.
Okay.
And her final role, which actually I was reading, was released posthumously, and there were six lines in it that had to be recorded by someone else. And it was the Disney animated Hunchback of Notre Dame movie.
And what? Who was this again? Who?
Mary Wicks.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. That after this like 60-year-long career, great success in film and stage and TV, she ends not even completing.
She's got to get it filled. That's a sad one.
Yeah,
that's a sad one.
Yeah, which I think a lot of these final roles are.
There's a sadness to them. Yeah,
yeah. All right. Kind of the theme.
Yeah. Okay. All right, bro. Thanks.
All right.
That's right. I want to get sponsors for the Best Show Studio. If your company, if you're working it, there's got to be somebody like a tech company or a website where they're like, yeah, we would spend the thing and we blow money on ice sculptures here. Get your name studio sponsoring rights. Get your name on the studio. Some company gets your show mentioned, your studio mentioned on the show every week. Come on. Step it up. Putting another list together, selling my books to keep this thing going. And look, are we the best? Of course we're the best. These other podcasts, they can't even touch what we do. On our on the worst minute of The Best Show is still better than the show that these people put in front of other people as this is what we do when it works. The worst minute of this show still beats that. Everything on this thing's funny. Everything. Every single part of it is great. And we get it from every angle. I'm looking at these podcasts. Because I was going to do Who Sucks in Podcasting. I didn't pick one this week. Look at some of these things. New Yorker. Oh, thank God they have a podcast. What's that? Did somebody talk about folding ascots? Got to hear that. Talk about getting your ascot back from the cleaners. Look at some of these podcasts. Holy moly, one looks worse than the next. What's this? Politico's 2016 Nerdcast. Oh, God. Could you imagine? Can you imagine? That's like, look at these things. Jeepers, creepers, man. What are these? What are people actually get in front of a mic and do these shows? Jocko Podcast. What's that? Could you imagine? If these things have listeners. They got to figure it out. I'm the one outside looking in. But you know what? I got what they know. Oh, here's one that sucks. Gilmore Guys. This is a show where these two clowns review episodes of Gilmore Girls. Look, I've never heard a minute of it. Sounds like you got a winner on your hand. These guys are minting money with this thing. I'm selling my books. These guys just backing up the money truck week after week because they're just, I thought this episode was, and look, I've never heard a minute of it. Maybe it's the greatest podcast ever. Never heard 1 minute of it. I thought that Lorelei she mentioned Weezer in this one. Oh, can you imagine? Couldn't pay me to listen. They got it figured out, though. I'm the one who don't have the formula. They got the formula. I'm just going to start doing my Sanford and Son podcast. Review an episode of Sanford and Son every week. I bought the complete series on DVD. Why? That's the kind of thing I do. I'll be at Best Buy. I'll be like, oh, yeah, sure. Oh, $70? Yeah. Yeah, I won't be able to sleep without this. You should see the face on the people at the store when I'm bringing that up to the counter. Sanford and Son complete series. Did a bell go off? Yeah, they all came out and watched as they rang me out. They all came out and watched. They watched me pay for this thing. Really, Sanford and Son, you're paying for that thing. You're buying the complete series. I'm going to start doing that, my Sanford and Son podcast. Best Show.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
I'm good. To whom am I speaking?
This is Craig in Jersey City.
Craig in Jersey City. What's up, Craig?
Not much. I have a build a movie.
I'm going to be nice to you, Craig. You know why? Because you're local.
Yeah.
Get me. So go ahead. What's the build a movie, Craig? What do you got?
Okay, I've got Harry Dean Stanton.
All right, let me get my pen here. Harry Dean Stanton.
Eva Longoria.
Mm-hmm.
And Russell Brand. and it's a political thriller.
A political thriller. Oh, this we could do this one. Russell Brand's going to play like a campaign manager, right? Like a win-at-all-costs campaign manager. Does that make sense?
Yep. He's a political guy.
Eva Longoria's running for governor of Illinois. Harry Dean Stanton. Is Harry Dean Stanton the guy who's got the goods on her? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He's the one who's like, I gotta remember the thing you did there, right? Like, he's got like pictures. He's all sweaty. He's always sweaty in everything he did. That's why I like Harry Dean Stanton. Sweats. I like the sweaters in life. Those who sweat. Chuck Berry, Harry Dean Stanton. I've been listening to all this Chuck Berry lately. I got this thing, 16 CDs of Chuck Berry, the complete Chuck Berry box set. Everything. It's got everything on it. It's one of the best things I've ever heard in my life. And these, like, Chuck Berry live shows. It's got these live shows from, like, 1963 on them. And he keeps saying on it repeatedly, I need to take a break here because I'm sweating all over the place. It's like, and he called it at one point. He's like, it's rock and roll juice. He's like, I gotta wipe my brow, get the rock and roll juice. I was like, that's pretty awesome. But seriously, these Chuck Berry songs, this dude is no different than, he's like Woody Guthrie, the level this guy was operating at. People gotta respect it. Yeah, he's a five-star, whatever. What do you want to call him? Prevert? I don't know. Is he worse than a prevert? I don't know the story. Is he a sex criminal? Had cameras going in a bathroom? Not cool. None of the songs are about that. As best I can identify. But, and I kept thinking, I want to do a song, like Johnny Be Good, right? You know Johnny Be Good?
Mm-hmm.
I want to do one about the guy who, you know, this Wally Wacky Man. Are you familiar with that?
I do.
Just because that line when he's like, he used to carry his guitar in a gunny sack, right? It'd just be like, he used to carry his puppet in a purple sack. Because Z-Man, this guy who operates this puppet, Wally Wacky Man, he carries him around in a purple bag or whatever. Someday someone will record a song about him. Z-Man. That's an aside. No big... I'm going to mark that down as our worst minute. Still beats what any of these other ones do. What any of these other shows do. So what do you got, Chief?
It was the built... Oh,
that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the sweaters in life is where I left off.
Yeah.
Harry Dean Stanton. Harry Dean Stanton plays an old hitman, right?
Mm-hmm.
Harry Dean Stanton plays an old hitman who he would have the goods on Russell Brand. Can't be a candidate here, right? Because he's British, right? And he's always telling us about our system. You know what I mean? You ever see that? When he's just telling us about our, like, how messed up it is. Like, you people in America with your emperor. Like, all right, click it back a notch, bro, with the...
Sorry.
3-hour speech. No, not you. I'm talking to Russell Brand right now. So Russell Brand is a political strategist who will go at anything to get his candidate, Eva Longoria, to win the governorship, right? But then a mysterious hitman comes out of the woodwork, Harry Dean Stanton, and he's got some... Is she second generation? She's second generation governor, right? Like that? Yeah. Was her father like a Richard Daley type? Like if it's old politics, right?
Yeah.
And this one's I'm having a hard time with this one.
I have another one if you'd like to switch.
No, I'll break this one. I'm going to look online and see if I get any help here. Yes, Petty. Boomer humor coming through. Boomer humor, just help me out here with this. This cracks it open. Russell Brand plays Banksy. That's perfect boomer humor. Eva Longoria is running for mayor of a major city. And everything is getting these art exhibits keep popping up, messing up her campaign, right? Like while she's going around town, these things keep popping up to like expose her and make her look like a buffoon. And so then dirty politics ensues and she gets Harry Dean Stanton, this hitman, to take out Banksy. To figure out who he is and take him out. There's your movie. Right there.
Thank you,
Boomer Humor. You're awesome. I like Boomer. I like Boomer Humor. You're cool. What do you think about that?
I love it.
Right? And that's called... Yeah. What would it be called? It's called something with art. Exit Through the Voting Booth. Okay.
All right.
There you go. There's your movie.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks. What do you think about that one, Mike? Yeah, we pulled it out. Me and Boomer Humor did it. Team effort. No, it's a thriller. Yeah. I'm commenting on what your mayor is going to try to do. If she takes control of this city. I love it. I would see that movie. Exit Through the Voting Booth. Best show.
Yeah, this is Carlo from Silver Spring.
Carlo from Silver Spring. Where's that, Maryland?
Yeah, Maryland.
Okay, what do you want, Carlo? What's up?
I wanted to do, either a build a movie or a final role.
Let's hear the final role. I want to hear your final role.
Audrey Hepburn.
Yes.
The film Always. What's her final role?
The movie Always, the Steven Spielberg,
Richard Dreyfuss.
Yeah. Who else is in it again?
John Goodman,
Richard Dreyfuss.
And Holly Hunter.
And Holly Hunter. And it's one of those movies that nobody's seen, right?
Well, yeah, it's a movie no one's seen, and I saw it when I was 10 years old.
Oh, so you saw it then. So I guess it's not that nobody's seen it. You have seen it.
I have seen it when I was 10 years old, and actually... I called in a couple weeks ago and told a story about a friend of mine who yelled at Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah.
He yelled apple at her. And
that's
I
right.
saw it with him when we were both 10, and we saw it with his mother.
Mm-hmm.
Which, seeing how...
Yeah, I just emptied my trash, by the way, on my computer. I'm not afraid to say. I'm multitasking. Hold on, I just got to put you on hold for 1 second. Just 1 second, okay?
Are you talking to AP Mike about stolen valor?
I'm just talking to you for 1 second. What's your name again, Chief, down in there in Silver Spring?
Carlo.
Okay, Carlo, hold on 1 second. I'm putting you on hold. Mike, for God's sake. Guys like this is just poison for the show. This guy's killing me. This guy is like, it's like, was he calling from a sleep study? It's like talking to one of those hanging coma things from the movie Coma. That's what I feel like. This dude's putting me to sleep. This is maybe the worst caller in the last 5 years, Mike. Wait, couldn't you tell that this guy was so boring when you talked to him? You couldn't tell? You were on the fence. Well, what is the fence? Is it jumping over the fence? Is it sheep? Counting sheep jumping over the fence? That's what it's like with this dude. I'm going to go back. This is like it's like making a mirror. If I can make this call anything, it's going to be a minor miracle. This is the most boring caller maybe in the history of the show. I got to go back to him because he's clogging up the line like a broken toilet. Let me go back. Hey, Carlo. Welcome back to the best show.
Hey, Tom. How you doing?
Doing all right. So what did you have now again? You were saying you and a friend screamed at Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah.
How's that going for you?
Oh, you know, great, really fun.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks for the call, Carlo. Best show.
Hey, Tom.
No more dudes, Mike. No more dudes. I'd rather have no callers than dudes.
I'm the last dude.
Maybe ever. Well, what's your name, Chief? What's your name?
Mason from Lexington.
Now, Mason, you know what I want to say to you.
Okay.
And I just said it. I want to say Mason.
Name.
It is a good name. When you hear that line from the movie Clifford and Charles Grodin says, I want to say Mason, are you just like, ooh, that's my name? And you're a little excited?
I hadn't remembered that movie in like 10 years or so. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think I've seen it a bunch, though. It was on TV.
Yeah.
All the time when I was a kid.
Yeah, because it's classic.
It's pretty great. Dinosaur Land is a dinosaur world.
Dinosaur World.
Pretty great.
What's up? What can I do for you, Chief?
I had to build the movie.
All right, let's do it.
Nathan Lane and Rutger Hauer.
Hold on. Lane. Rutger Hauer. Yeah.
In a Western. Yep.
Anybody else you want to give me to balance this out a little bit?
I'm trying to think of somebody that would be contemporary.
Yeah. All right. Keep thinking. Think. I'm putting you on hold. Not on hold. I'm hanging up on you, but you call back. If you think of a third person, call back. Seriously. Okay?
Okay.
Best show.
Hi, Tom.
Hello. To whom am I speaking?
This is Danya in Oakland.
Danya in Oakland. How are you tonight, Danya?
I'm okay. I'm sick. I have a cold. How are you?
I'm not sick. I'm doing all right. Are you fired up to cheer on the Golden State Warriors as they come back home? You're going to meet them at the airport?
I don't really get into sports at all.
But can you feel the magic? You feel the excitement in Oakland?
There are a lot of excited people, yeah. It's pretty cool.
A lot of new Golden State Warriors jerseys?
Yeah, a lot of people who, like some of my classmates, like, wear Golden State Warriors garb, and they're not from here. I find that strange. Mm-hmm.
Now, Danya, I hope, first of all, I hope you feel better.
Thanks.
Secondly, to what do I owe the pleasure of this call?
Well, this is the first time I've listened in like a really like live in a really long time, and I never get to call, and I've been catching up on the shows, and I know I say this like every time, maybe you don't remember, but you had like the duos thing, and there were like two that I really wanted to add, and I don't know if that's kosher or not, but I also heard you saying you were getting more into the electronic music, so I had like two that I really wanted to mention to you.
Mention away!
Okay, so the band Adult.
Adult?
Yeah.
Okay.
From Detroit.
From Detroit.
And then, Robert Gorl and Gabby Delgado from DAF, Deutsche Amerikanische Freundschaft.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And those were the two.
Okay.
That I wanted to mention. But I don't know if you have you know, wandered into that territory yet, so...
I'll wander into any territory. I'm ready for anything. What's Fred from Honolulu on about? I look on Twitter. God strike Twitter dead, man. I tell you. Hope that their mainframe gets hit by a lightning bolt and it gets all erased. You know what I mean, Donnie?
Well, there's another good duo, Lightning Bolt.
Lightning Bolt are a good duo. What a fun call about street harassing a woman. I don't know what that is. What did I do? What did I do wrong now, Fred? Fred, what did I do wrong now? Oh. I guess this guy's all hopped up on the Gethard juice. He's on the Chris Gethard train now. Guess I'm left out. I'm like lunch meat that got left out. This guy, Fred, is, you know this Fred from Honolulu, Danya?
I've heard him call, yeah, but he doesn't live in Honolulu anymore.
Nah, he's ripping me on Twitter now, because he's a Gethard guy.
Oh, wait, am I thinking of the guy that, like, moved from Hawaii to Brooklyn?
Yeah, no, he's the guy who moved from Hawaii. He's the guy who had the master plan to move from Hawaii to Little Italy. And then now he drives Chris Gethard around New York. It's like the movie Arthur. He drives Chris Gethard around in a limo. He's like Sir John Gielgud.
So many of your cultural references just go right over my head.
Well, you didn't do me any favors with Adult, Danya. We're tied over here.
I thought maybe you had heard them. I don't know.
I wrote it down. I know
it's
DAF.
Adult with like, okay.
Yeah, I know them. Okay. So go. Well, adult, go. Sorry, we're overlapping here. I'm going to let you talk.
There's a period at the end of Adult, so it's like Adult period.
Okay.
So I don't know how you would find them. Like, it's hard to, I guess you'd have to type in Adult music or something. I don't know.
Usually just band. Band usually covers band. Just about anything. So, Donnie, anything else going on tonight?
I'm moving tomorrow. I have an interview for a job. I just finished my first year of grad school, and I'm really happy about that. But now my body is rebelling.
Yeah, your body's pushing back. You had to have something not be perfect right now. So get over your cold. Go get that job.
Thanks, Tom.
All right, you have a great night. Feel better.
You too. Thanks.
Bye. That's Fred from Honolulu. I can't win with the guy. Can't win. Fred from Honolulu. One of Gethard's goons. Call him a Gethard. He's a Gethard goon. Best show.
Hi, this is Amanda from Virginia, and I have one for the topic.
Amanda, how are you tonight? How are you?
I'm doing quite well. How are you?
I'm good. The fine state of Virginia, which when I drove back from Nashville, you realize how big Virginia is. When you go
free.
When
you get pretty wide across.
Yeah, when you go diagonally through it, you're like, oh my goodness, yes. Virginia. There's a lot of Virginia here.
And then there's our western neighbor. That's also kind of sort of Virginia.
West Virginia?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. But you're from Virginia proper.
Yeah, I'm from Northern Virginia. I'm in Harrisonburg right now.
Okay.
More to the west.
So what do you have for the topic?
Well, I have Joan Crawford in Trog.
Wait, okay. Joan Crawford.
Final role.
Legendary film icon. And her final role was, what was it now?
It was in Trog.
Trog. T-R-O-G?
Yep, as in troglodyte. She plays Dr. Brockton.
Oh, that's a depressing one. Oh, could you imagine?
A science fiction horror film.
Yeah, could you imagine Joan Crawford? Did she have money problems?
Yeah, I don't know. I always kind of wondered. She definitely had a drinking problem.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently she was regularly intoxicated on set.
Well, I would have to be
Trog. Understandable because she has to play ball with a man in an ape mask.
Yeah.
Pretending to be, a couple million years old.
Guy going up to her just being like, hey, Miss Crawford, I just want to say I'm a huge fan. Kind of in the Trog costume talking to her, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you, with the movies, would you say Trog is, where would you put Trog on the spectrum of the movies you've done?
And she's like, how long do I have to talk to this guy in this Trog costume? And what was her character's name again?
Dr. Brockton.
Dr. Brockton. You know what? This would be a fun segment if we had, like, famous people on. And then they have filmographies, and then I could ask them to go through their filmography and see if they can remember the names of the characters they play. Wouldn't that be a fun segment to do?
I bet plenty of them would forget.
Yeah, but you want to know what's funny about that? I've been doing that for years, and Jimmy Kimmel just started doing it. There's a fun thing, you rat thief. Oh.
You should do him or something.
Yeah, I'll assume. Yeah, that'll go well. That'll go well. Yeah, next thing you know, make a crank yankers puppet of me, right? I'll start getting crank yanked.
Yeah.
I go after this dude in court. Next thing I know, my phone starts ringing, right? It's Jim Florentine crank yanking me. I'm not going to mess with these crank yankers. Sure. He'll sick his crank yank. He'll sick Burcham on me, right?
Yeah,
Burcham, that's Adam Carolla's character from Crank Yankers. I don't want Kevin Nealon burping in the phone at me as one of the Crank Yankers. Crank, you should all be in jail for Crank Yankers for prank phone calling people. They did it from like Las Vegas where you can do that legally. Yeah. Anytime you have to do like a thing, anytime you have to find out like the loophole to do it, you probably shouldn't be doing it. You know what I mean? If you have to find the one state that you can get away with it in, you probably shouldn't be doing it.
So, definitely reasonable.
General rule of thumb. If you have to go through the law books one by one and figure out where you can pull a fast one, don't do it. Well, I want to thank you for this call. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And you have a grand evening. Who's good here, Mike? One. Best show.
Hi, Tom. It's Coco.
Oh, my goodness. It's Coco.
Oh, my gosh.
Coco from?
From the Best Show.
From the Best Show. Coco, you might know Coco. She is the lead singer and guitar player of the Etz, right?
Yes.
And also what else?
And also part of a duo called The Parting Gifts with Mr. Greg Cartwright.
That's right. Parting Gifts. Super group.
Super group.
And what else? So what else? What else is on the resume, Coco?
On the resume? It's about to become on the resume. There might be just Coco coming. I don't know.
What? You can't talk. Can you talk about that? We can't. Can we talk about that or no?
I think we can talk about it. If you want to talk about it.
I would love to talk about it.
Let's talk about it.
Has this been announced anywhere?
No.
So is this a rock and roll exclusive?
This is a rock and roll exclusive. Here with you on the Best Show now.
And what is it now?
I'm doing my first solo record.
Oh.
It's just Coco and Haynes is my last name, which I found out is a part of a horse-driven apparatus. I found that out through Deadwood, so that's cool to know. But I'm recording it, and it'll be out in spring on Merge Records, and it is news, exclusive news.
Oh, my goodness. Congratulations.
Thank you, and that's not even why I called, although I went to Twitter a little bit to talk to this Adam from Orlando fellow who hadn't been to the Best Cuban restaurant. I don't know where he and his sister went, but it wasn't where I would go. But I had one for the topic that I was wondering if you might have some ideas for.
All right. First of all, Coco,
mm-hmm.
I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
Coco Haymes.
Yes.
Now, you didn't just do that to try to make people think it's Haim, did you?
Oh, no, but I'm...
What's that group called? Is it Haim?
Yeah, it's Haim, but I think they're Jewish, and mine's Scottish, and I don't think it's the same. Those girls are great, but
yeah.
That would have been a smarter marketing move.
Just call the record The Fourth Haim?
Yeah, right? I just throw myself in there.
The Fourth Haim? Put a question mark. The Fourth Haim?
Yeah. Because I'll make you do the work.
Like legally. Yeah, that. Legally there has to be a question. The Fourth Haim?
Is it? Because I was reading a food magazine on airplane recently, and they had this whole thing about them, and they seem really fun. So I was like, well, maybe I'm one of them. I'm in their
mix. Like you're the missing Haim?
Yeah, they just forgot to put me in the picture or talk about me.
Yeah. Or what if it turns out you're like, oh, it's, and then you find out it's like, there's this podcast called Haim Slides, and then you find out that that's what you actually are related to the dudes who do Haim Slides.
See, that sounds more like my luck, but I'll roll the dice.
Uh-huh. No, well, congratulations on that. That is wildly exciting.
Thank you. I'm excited.
And I cannot wait to hear. I can't wait for next spring now.
Now it's building up. I never look forward to anything.
Now I'm looking forward to the Coco solo album.
Me too.
So, what did you call about Coco?
Okay, murder mystery. I'm going to give you the heads up.
Oh, all right, murder mystery.
Because I was inspired a little bit by one of your previous callers. Okay, we're going to start with Charles Grodin.
Charles Grodin. Okay.
Daniel Day-Lewis.
Okay.
Fran Drescher.
Fran Drescher. Okay.
Kenneth Branagh.
Okay.
And Paul Williams.
And Paul Williams. And it's a murder mystery.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it can go dark. It can, I mean, that, you know what? That's not even up to me. That's okay. Up to you.
Well, here we go. How about this? Paul Williams, can we make him a statue? What if we make him a statue?
Not even like a person, just a representation of him, like in the Grand Hotel Budapest, where it's like right there in the.
I didn't see that.
Or any other movie where someone's a statue.
Yeah, all those movies where people are statues.
Yes, that whole genre. Yes, yes. Okay, so he's there. He's a statue. And
he's a statue. I might go back from this too.
Okay.
I might go back from this. And there's these people on Twitter. It's not Jimmy Fallon. It's Jimmy Kimmel. Kimmel, lay off Fallon. Kimmel. Look, I know there's 11 Jimmys and Jims on TV now. Caviezel, Parsons.
Oh.
So, Charles Grodin, Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah.
Fran Drescher.
Uh-huh.
Kenneth Branagh.
Uh-huh. Sure. And Paul Williams. I'm excited about the statue idea, but don't let me stick.
Okay. Paul Williams. Is there a statue that looks like him that everybody thinks he's the statue? No, that's stupid. Charles Grodin. Who could be the detective? One of them has to be the detective on this. Fran Drescher's the detective.
Okay. Okay.
Fran Drescher's the detective.
I'm writing this down.
Yeah. Don't worry, I am too.
Okay.
She's the detective, and she's looking for, because Paul Williams was in one of the Planet of the Apes movies, right?
I think so. And then mostly, did you see that documentary about him recently?
I watched about half of it.
Yeah, I watched about half of it, but those songs are, they don't have to have anything to do with this. I'm the worst. I'm derailing.
No, he's great. Look, that guy's great. Paul Williams wasn't so nuts about the dude making the movie who kept inserting himself into it.
Yeah, that's... Just
tell me about Paul Williams, please. But Justin, what if we call this movie Justin Old Fat... No.
No.
No, not Justin Old Fashioned Love Song.
Rainy Days in Mutton... No.
No, let's see. Rainbow... No.
No, we're in the rain one.
He was in Battle for the Planet of the Apes. So, Fran Drescher is an insurance detective. Like, you know, one of these people for an insurance claim. Charles Grodin is claiming that he had the original costume from Battle for the Planet of the Apes. He bought Paul Williams' costume for that, right?
Okay, and that would obviously have to be authenticated by somebody.
Yeah, and then it gets stolen.
Oh, wow.
It's stolen. He files a huge insurance claim. Fran Drescher has to investigate why the thing is stolen. And it's like what the parameters of that are. And so then who's left here? Branagh and Daniel Day-Lewis and Paul Williams are left. So Daniel Day-Lewis plays one of the top Planet of the Apes collectors, right?
Yes.
And
so he might be able to be like, who she consults, like, listen.
Yeah, I need some provenance on this. You have to help me give me some insight. Then they find him dead.
Oh.
Right?
Yes.
Then they find him dead. Then they go talk to Kenneth Branagh, whose father directed Battle for the Planet of the Apes.
Oh.
I'm assuming who directed Battle for the Planet of the Apes? I got to look that up. Hold on.
Okay, because I was thinking.
What were you thinking? I want to hear what you're thinking.
Just aesthetically, I was thinking, he's so great. His accent, you know, it could be anything. He could be a New Englander. He could be British. He could be anything. That could be. So whoever directed that.
Wrap your head around this, Coco.
Okay.
J. Lee Thompson, a British film director.
No.
Directed Battle for the Planet of the Apes.
So it's not, he doesn't have to stretch.
No, it's one that makes sense. Kenneth Branagh, he plays J. Lee Thompson Jr., J.J.
Oh, J.J.
J.J. Thompson, son of J. Lee Thompson, and he's on the Planet of the Apes convention circuit.
Of course.
Right? He's always there telling stories about his father and everything, but it turns out that he got into an argument with Paul Williams at one of the conventions. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that he did steal the thing, but Paul Williams murdered him and restole it because he felt it got stolen from him on the set back in the 70s. So Paul Williams is the one killing everybody.
So he's the one. So Charles Grodin is actually, he's a real victim.
They find Charles Grodin dead. They find Daniel Day-Lewis dead. And they find Kenneth Branagh dead. All killed by Paul Williams, trying to get his Planet of the Apes costume back. Because Grodin stole it. Because it was Grodin's. Grodin stole it. Because he was in like a fight with Daniel Day-Lewis over it. In like the black in the collector's black market.
Yeah, which is very real.
Where people have like merch, things that they can't ever show anyone that they've got. Like I was at a guy's house, a rich guy's house. I'm not kidding. This is all kidding aside. This is like a very powerful showbiz person. And he showed me, no joke, Jerry Lewis's hand.
He
owns Jerry Lewis's hand.
He
bought it.
And then it's like, okay, so you bought it because it's like you own
from
it.
Jerry Lewis. Jerry Lewis is still alive.
Yeah.
He sold his hand to this guy. And he's got like one of those hands like the dude on Sons of Anarchy.
Now I'm worried. Now I feel like I've like crossed into territory where it's like, oh,
no. Oh, no. No, this is great. And the final scene of this movie, Paul Williams puts the costume back on, right?
Yes.
And hides in, like, a Planet of the Apes museum at the convention, posing as, like, a statue, an exhibit, thinking it's just like, there's the thing. But now Fran Drescher knows.
Like the cops are running around and like.
Everyone's looking. Like, and then Fran Drescher just stops and she just goes, hold on a second. And then she sees this Paul Williams and then she sees he's in there. And what does she do? Punches him right in the business.
No, I couldn't tell if you were going to say it. And then she just walked out like on her walkie-talkie, like secure the perimeter, you know, whatever. Like, nope,
she needs to prove that that's Virgil. His character's name was Virgil in the movie.
Oh, okay.
She needs to prove that that's him in there. So she's walking through the exhibit and she's explaining the case now. And then they're like, but where's Paul Williams? And then she turns and she punches the Virgil statue right in the business. And then Paul Williams doubles over.
He doubles over. They can get a DNA sample. Yeah.
Take him away, boys.
Take them away, boys.
And they take them away. They throw them right in jail in the costume.
That's amazing. I can't wait.
I can't wait. Well, you better learn how to wait because it's not happening anytime soon. I would truly give anything to see the movie we just talked about. That would be.
I was making notes like, and then, and so. You're way too into it.
You're so into it. So let's say that this movie is called Battle for. No, let's just call it Virgil Suicides.
Virgil Suicide. I just thought you might have said Battle for the Grapes because she got him in the end.
In the business. Now, we're calling it the Virgil Suicides.
You're like, no, we are keeping it. We're not working blue on this one.
No, because he makes. Because the other thing is, Paul Williams made all the things look like suicides.
Yeah, exactly. It's a multi entendre.
Yes, the Virgil Suicides.
I love it.
All right, Coco. I can't wait to see you. I'm so excited about what you've got going on now. Solo album. Very exciting.
I'm very excited. Thank you for taking my call. I hope everything is going great, and I'm just going to plug back in and keep listening. And thanks for talking to me and for my great new nightmare that I'm going to have tonight.
For the Virgil Suicides. All right, Coco. I'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Hey, Mike, would you see that movie? Yeah. I'd see that. Could you imagine... The Virgil Suicides? You saw that in the theater? That feels like one where you get dumped off at the... That feels like one where the parents drop you off. I'm telling you, I remember... I used to go to the movies when I was like a kid. I was so young. I was like... I don't know what my parents were thinking dropping me off at the movie. I was going to these things. I must have been 8 seeing some of these things. And in the summer, they had this one movie theater that would just show these like cheapo. It's like a dollar to get in. And this maniac who programmed the theater shows this movie. I remember it being the most terrifying thing I ever saw in my life. Bodies burning on lawns and stuff. It was like what kind of maniac puts that in the thing that it's just going to be kids there? I was terrified. And I remember leaving the theater and going into like the hobby shop next to the theater and looking at models for cars. Which I barely had any interest in, but at least it took me away from the horrifying nightmare. And then there was a friend of mine. He stayed and watched the whole thing. A weird kid. He was fine with it. I was terrified. I'm still scarred by that thing. You know what band I like a lot? I like Creedence Clearwater Revival. I like the Velvet Underground. And I like A Giant Dog! Giant Dog. It's on Merge. The album's called Pile. It's their third album, their first on Merge. Love it so much. What do you think of that, Mike? Rockin'. There you go. What a glowing endorsement. If anybody from A Giant Dog is listening and Mike said rock, don't worry. This guy's, if you want to know where he is, he's going to be listening to the Grateful Dead 4 CD tribute album. You get to hear thrilling tracks on there. You get to hear, what's that one? The dude from Jack Johnson. You get to hear him do Terrapin Station. If you ever wanted to hear Jason Mraz do Cream Puff War. You didn't think I was going to go that early, did you, Mike? First album. War on Drugs, I like. Those dudes are awesome. Who else is good on it? You know, Kurt, obviously, is my favorite. Yola Tango, I love them. Who? Dinosaur Jr., of course. All right. You're making the case. You know the only problem with it, Mike? They're playing Grateful Dead songs. I want nothing to do with it. Nothing. Best show.
Hey, it's Mason again.
Mason?
Yeah.
You had called earlier with Nathan Lane and Rutger Hauer for a Western.
Yeah. And I had thought of at least two other people.
Let's hear it.
Laura Dern.
Mm-hmm.
And Avery Brooks.
Avery Brooks. Who's Avery Brooks again?
He's primarily known as the captain on Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
That's right. That's
right. He's just very eccentric.
That's right. A Western.
Yes.
Hmm. What do you think about this one, Mike? Mike, Nathan Lane, Rutger Hauer, Laura Dern, and Avery Brooks in a Western. All right, here's what we do with that. Nathan Lane, he plays rich dude, right? Okay. This one sucks. I'm sorry. I'm not doing this one. Sorry, no. Mason. Sorry, bro. Best show. It's too loaded. The Nathan Lane one feels loaded. Like, it's like, what am I going to... You know what I mean? Best show. Feels like he's trying to... What? Go. Hold on. I'm looking at this Fred from Honolulu. Oh, that's not Fred from Honolulu. Sorry. This guy doesn't even have the courtesy to reply anymore, Fred. I guess the word came down from the back of the limo. Word came down from the back of the limo, the window. I picture Fred saying, this is what it goes like in their limo when Fred's driving Chris Gethard around. Fred's like, hey, I found a place that sells Mexican Dr. Pepper. And Chris is like, yeah, it sounds great. And then the limo window inside rolls up slowly. Welcome to the Best Show. To whom am I speaking?
Hello, Tom.
Yes.
Hi, this is Josh, the organist in Boston. How are you?
Oh, my goodness. Josh Cantor.
That's me.
The legendary.
Oh, brother.
Organist for the Boston Red Sox, for your Boston Red Sox.
That's right. I hope for everyone's sake that I'm not the biggest celebrity who's called in tonight. I just got out of the ball game, so I haven't been able to listen to the show tonight.
Who won the game?
The Red Sox won the game in splendid fashion, and they're on a hot streak, so everyone's in a good mood around here.
Who's your favorite Red Sox player? Is it still David Ortiz, his farewell season?
Well, I think he's kind of the legacy favorite, I guess you would say.
Mm-hmm. And what music do you what have you played lately for people in the stadium? Because you play the organ between innings.
Yeah, right. During breaks in the action, during commercial breaks and that kind of thing. So tonight was a very busy night with the requests. I get requests on Twitter from fans in the stands, and last night I only got one or two. Tonight I got a whole bunch, and it was a lot of sort of like classic rock kind of stuff. So I don't know why that is. That was just sort of the vibe this evening, I guess.
And what did you play tonight?
What did I play tonight? Oh, my gosh. Let me see if I can remember. So many. But I played Goodbye Ruby Tuesday at the end of the game,
okay,
being as it was Tuesday night and everyone was leaving.
Uh-huh.
And someone requested a Squeeze song, so I played that one. And
which Squeeze song do you remember?
Tempted.
That's a good organ-based
song. Big hit. Yeah, it's catchy,
I agree.
Yeah.
So what do I owe the pleasure of this call? You are one of my favorite people. You're the master.
Oh, my gosh, Tom. I'm so flattered. I feel the same about you.
The guy with the magic fingers.
Well, I was it's funny because I was singing your praises the other day. I was playing at a rock festival in Norway a few days ago, and I got to meet Daniel from Danielson. He was there on the bill, and we got to play together, and we got to talk about how much we enjoy your show.
Oh, cool. I love Daniel Smith. He's one of my favorite people.
Yeah, good guy.
So proud. I'm proud that he's from New Jersey. He makes everyone proud here in New Jersey, Daniel Smith.
Yeah, that's excellent. I was actually calling about the, and I apologize for calling during No Dudes time. I didn't realize
that's
that
all right.
Happening.
That's all right. Don't worry.
I was calling about the final roles thing. I don't know if that's been an active topic tonight, but I was thinking about Groucho Marx's final role, and I don't know if anyone has talked about that one.
We talked about Skidoo already.
Yeah.
I
apologize
that's
for
all right. Look,
being late on that one, but I always thought that was such a weird movie for him to go out on.
You're exempt from the rules that apply to normal callers, Josh. You don't worry about that. You got the pass. You got the lane right down the middle. It's like a bloop single, right?
Yeah, bloop single. I'll take it every time.
Yeah. How about when, you ever hear John Sterling, the voice of the Yankees? You ever hear him?
Yeah, I'm a little familiar with sort of his cadence. It's funny because when the Yankees come to Boston, which they do frequently since they're the division rivals, I often will walk past him in the hallway or something up on the media level. So I kind of know his voice more from the way he sounds when he's shooting the breeze in the hallway.
He's the voice for people who don't know. Now, look, I know you. This is your workplace. I'm going to exempt you from this. He's the Yankees announcer, the New York Yankees. And he's basically like Ted Baxter from Mary Tyler Moore Show, where he's like, "What's going on, Lou?" Like, he's got that kind of vibe of, like, the like that kind of Ted Knight feel. And his famous call when he's doing, like, the home run call, he'll be like, "It is high, it is far, it is gone." And then, like, the funniest thing you've ever heard is when it's, like, when he blows it and he's like, "It is high, it is far, it is off the center field wall." It's like, wait, so it could not have been very high then. what about the high, far, okay. High? Not higher than the wall.
Yeah, the Red Sox had a radio guy about 20 years ago before I was working there, and he was notorious for doing that kind of thing. And he would say, "Swing the drive, it's deep, it's way back, and it's caught."
That's exactly what John said.
But he would do it, it seemed like almost every night, to the point that it was just, I don't know. It was just very comical.
Yeah. It is high. It is far. It is. He's done. It is caught. I'm typing it. It is. I'm telling you, it is high. It is far. It is gone. Comes up. I want to see if there's. I gotta see if there's. And he gives like the people the nicknames like. Mike's a big Yankee fan. Mike, what are some of the nicknames John Sterling gives? A text message from Teixeira. That's some bottom of the barrel stuff going on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm a little sympathetic only because, you know, I definitely trade in like bad wordplay with some of my song selections sometimes. I mean, I try to at least have them be marginally clever, but you know, it's hard to not miss the mark every once in a while. So
I like when he goes, if people get big hits consecutively, he'll go a back to back and a belly to belly.
Oh yeah.
It's like
Zombie Jamboree.
That's right. You're working it pretty hard over there.
Well, I'm in that mode, you know.
Still in that mode, yeah.
It's a homestand, so I'm there every night this week, so that's where my brain's at.
Well, look, you cool out. Why don't you go get some of that? Go get some clam chowder. Right? Some post game clam chowder.
Yeah.
Get a little bit of that. Get a little bit of what else? Baked beans, right?
Yeah, lobster roll.
Just eating
Sam Adams.
You're drinking a Sam Adams, eating a lobster roll, New England clam chowder, and baked beans, and then you wake up in the emergency room, and
right,
and you're like, I need help.
Yeah,
is what you say. Well, Josh, you call anything. I hope to see you this summer. I hope to see you.
You know, I will roll out the red carpet for you anytime you feel like coming to a ball game. And regardless, yes, I would love to see you.
I'm
going to
do it. I'm doing it. I'm going to see you this summer.
All right,
man.
What
if Mike went up?
Yeah, Mike in the invitation. He knows it. I ask him for song and, you know, suggestions from time to time and on Twitter. And you know, he comes up with some cool ideas sometimes.
You know, did you know in the 80s Mike had a record out, like a novelty record? Did you know that?
I did not know that.
It was called Buckner, You Suckner. And it was his Bill Buckner record. And he actually sold a lot of them down here. It was pretty popular.
Yeah, I'm sure that was, you know, the Mets fans would have lined up for that one.
Yeah. How many copies of Buckner, You Suckner did you sell, Mike? 1,700. No, that's pretty low, actually. So he said he didn't sell any. I'm so sorry. I thought he sold a lot of them. He sold none of them. He sold 1,700. He's got boxes of 45s. And the weird thing is he called himself AP Mike back then, back in 86.
He had a premonition.
Thank you, Josh. You have a great night.
You too.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Buckner, You Suckner, we won the World Series. Mike, would you record Buckner, You Suckner? Re-record it. Of course, re-record it because it's real. If somebody contacted you and wanted to do a full 80s record, like a fake 80s sports cheap cash-in song, would you do it? I'm telling you right now, somebody listening, Buckner, You Suckner, AP Mike's fake 80s Mets cash-in song would be the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life. Best show.
Hey, Tom, it's Bobby in Minneapolis.
Bobby in Minneapolis. What's up, Bobby?
Hey, I called a few weeks ago. I was the one who signed up for a website on Squarespace using the offer code Best Show.
Well, thank you for doing that. I like your style. I like your style. And that's the other thing. People, Bobby, let me just say. If people are going to, they want to support the Best Show, you know you support it. That's how you support it. You participate in the advertising. I don't ask for money. Support advertising. That's it. Go ahead, Bobby.
So when I called before, I was still working on designing it, but my site is up and ready now. The address is chosenbythefunk.com.
Okay.
I've kind of started off with a little tribute to Prince. My first piece, I interviewed actually a really close friend of mine who works at First Avenue. And I kind of talked to him about what it was like to be inside there when Prince died and how there was all-night dance parties over that weekend. And so I talked to him about that.
Oh, cool.
And, yeah, I just have links to, like, all the writing and video and creative stuff I've done. And I just wanted to say, like, this is the first time I've ever made a website, really, and Squarespace is really easy. The one time I had a question, I emailed their support, and they got back to me in, like, half hour.
Exactly. Thank
you. I know
this
sounds like an ad, but I mean,
no,
it's
a testimonial. There's a testimonial. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a testimonial.
There's a testimonial. Brothers and sisters, this is a testimonial.
Yeah.
I want to see you see your hands out there, right?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Right? Yeah.
It's time to move. It's time to get down.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I'm not sure.
I'm talking about the MC5. How'd they start that album with Ramblin' Rose? How was that the decision? Let's start it with a thing that Rob Tyner doesn't sing. What a weird band, man. Couldn't get out of their own way. You know, though, I will say a lot of people these days, in all seriousness, are talking about high society. Because I do see a lot of honkies out there talking about high society. And the way I see it, this is the high society. those raps from the stage on that first MC5 record are the all-time greatest. That it's got to be. There was a point in my life where I insisted that the MC5 were better than the Stooges. And sometimes I still feel that that might be the case. Right? Listen to these intros. Just listen to this. Listen to that crowd. But you can't hear it. You're the only one who can't hear it, ironically. It's like a bumper sticker. You're the only one that can't see it.
Yeah.
If you put it on your car, you don't know it's there.
Yeah, I forgot about it.
I'm going to say goodbye. Stage. This, first of all,
brothers and sisters,
first of all, 40 seconds into the album, that was the first 40 seconds of their album. Weird. What a weird choice. Couldn't, in an album that has one of the worst edits I've ever heard in my life, at the end of Kick Out the Jams, where it's like, I think it's the end of Ramblin' Russ, but. They couldn't edit that.
I want to see you see your hands out there. Let me see you see your hands. I want everybody to kick up some noise. I want to hear some revolution out there, brothers. I want to hear a little revolution. Brothers and sisters, the time has come for each and every one of you to decide whether you are going to be the problem or whether you are going to be the solution.
That's right.
You must choose, brothers. You must choose. It takes 5 seconds. 5 seconds of decision. 5 seconds to realize your purpose here on the planet. It takes 5 seconds to realize that it's time to move. It's time to get down with it. Brothers, it's time to testify, and I want to know, are you ready to testify?
Imagine.
Are you ready? Oh. I give you a testimonial. The MC5.
That's the heaviest thing I've ever. Right? Because you get ramped up from revolution talk, and then these dudes come out and they start playing the heaviest music ever. Your head would explode.
Ramble, ramble. Fa, fa, fa.
There it is. The worst edit in the history of rock is...
Right now!
No, we're not playing that. Listen to this edit. Oh, no, it didn't because I have it on loop here. Come on. No, we're not going to play the part Mike wants to hear. Worst edit ever. Like, what was that? Blah! But they couldn't cut the first 40 seconds of clapping out? The razor blades didn't work?
Brothers and sisters of our nation, I hear a lot of pride by a lot of honkies sitting on a lot of money telling me they're high society. But I'll let you know something. If you ask me, this is the high society. This is the high society.
I tell you, I got to start working people up like that. That's what this show's missing. Right? I need you to slide into that mode, Mike. I'm looking out there. I see a lot of honkies sitting on a lot of money. Talking about high society. And the way I see it, this is the high society. But then they followed this album with Womp Bumma Loo Bumba Womp Bamboo Tutti Frutti. Weirdest, top 10 weirdest bands ever, MC5. You gotta love them. Gotta love them. Best show.
Hello.
Hi.
Tom, how are you?
Yes. I'm good. How are you?
I'm fantastic.
Glad to hear. To whom am I speaking?
My name is Ben. I'm from Seattle.
Ben from Seattle. Do I know this Ben?
No. No, you don't. Oh, last time I called, you asked if it was Ben Gibbard. It's not.
Oh, I'm going to ask the same thing this time.
Sorry.
That's all right. Let me just say this. Also, I know I've talked about it before. If anybody, and I'm serious about this, we're closing the loop on this now. I've wanted for about a year to talk to someone who was on the set of a Papa John's commercial to give me the inside scoop. Anybody who's been involved in the filming of a Papa John's commercial and can tell me what it's like to watch that guy shoot a commercial, Papa John Schnatter. I'll give you $8 in cash, PayPal, right? Not in cash, in PayPal. Or I'll mail you $8 in cash. I will keep you anonymous. I will not ruin your standing in the advertising community. I want that to happen. Let's make that happen. So go ahead, Ben. What's up?
Oh, I had a bunch of names for the, best show, Showbiz?
Yeah, what do you got?
Well, so first I'll say I wrote some names down, and then as I was waiting on the phone, I just started writing a bunch of names down that I think you'd hate. So I'm going to try to... I'll try to separate the ones of the...
Okay,
anyway.
Give me the best version of what you would do here.
Okay. Art Garfunkel.
Art Garfunkel.
Andy Serkis.
Andy Serkis, the dude who plays Gollum and everybody wears the green unitard in every one of those movies. Go ahead. Who else?
And the pink pong balls.
Who else?
And Kate Hudson.
I like Kate Hudson.
And then Roberto Bernini.
Okay. I'm already getting this one. You ready? Art Garfunkel plays himself. Paul Simon will not tour with Art Garfunkel, right? So Art Garfunkel decides he's going to have Andy Serkis put on the green unitard at these shows, and they're going to CGI him in so that it looks like an emotion captured thing, so it looks like Paul Simon up there. And he's going to play Paul. He's going to do a CGI Paul Simon every night. Roberto Benigni.
I'm snorting.
Roberto Benigni was the dude. He's the former. He was the former master of the green unitard and ping pong ball, who's been out of work, and he finds out that he's getting passed over for this. So he's mad about it. He's going to try to blow the lid off of it. Okay? Who's Kate Hudson play? She's probably a little old to play Art Garfunkel's wife. Right? She's probably aged out of that. Because Art Garfunkel is 78, and Kate Hudson is 33. So that's a little bit of a stretch to imagine Art Garfunkel would be attracted to her at this point. A dude who didn't look so hot when he was 26. He looked like he was in his late 60s. Then he would still be kind of like, man, what am I married to my mother? Kate Hudson plays, now get this, hitman that Roberto Benigni hires. I know it seems to be a default setting for some of these. Roberto Benigni, so mad at this, he hires Kate Hudson as Kate Hudson, who's also a hitman. Right?
Yeah.
So she's got access to these things because she's acting like she's just a fan hanging out with it, but she's trying to kill Andy Serkis, as hired by Roberto Benigni, the former CGI master, green unitard wearing. And you know what we call it?
Okay.
Okay, I'm working on this now. Let's see. We call it, not Green with Envy. Let's see. L, get ready for this. L unitard Passover. Right?
Yeah.
You get it? It's like a Simon and Garfunkel song reference.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm in.
Thanks, buddy. Of course, we have to end on the down the home stretch. Let's make sure it gets stupid, right? Best show.
How's it going, Tom?
Oh, it's going. Oh boy. What is he eating now? And you're pulled off to the side. You can talk now.
I'm out here pressing the finest J. Crew striped polo shirts.
Yeah, you're buffing.
Gaffing up the New Balance shoes so it doesn't have the logo showing. Getting them ready.
You like that thing about the, let me just say, first of all, for callers listening, we have regular callers, and there's people who've called for months, and there's people who've called for years. And then there's people that I put in the...
overstayed their welcome.
No, that's insulting, Fred. I was going to say the bad penny category, where you just can't shake them no matter what you do. And I love this guy. I love him, but the thing is, just when I start to feel like it's like, all right, I feel good about being tight with this dude. something happens with the Chris Gethard show, and then suddenly I'm looking at the back of Fred.
Yo.
I'm looking at the back of whatever shirt he's wearing with the zip code, with the area code for Hawaii on it. What is it, 861?
808.
808.
You got the text when we booked John Starks. Like, you got the text before you even went out.
Yeah.
Like, yo, John Starks in the house.
It's the only thing that keeps me going is that you'll sell out whoever your current allegiance is for pretty much, you'd sell people out for like a thing of disco fries. Now, this guy, Fred, he was formerly from Honolulu. Fred from Honolulu. He's a great guy. He now lives in Bed-Stuy. He calls himself Fred-Stuy.
There you go.
Because
Fred is strong.
Because it's important that there's be always some level of branding with everything you're doing. Like, which I think is awesome. So what's going on, Fred? How are you doing?
Man, I miss you, man. I have so much. I don't know where to start. Because
you're working on the Chris Gethard show, which is airing now on Fusion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was squiring around Gregulator last week. That was fun.
Gregulator, who is Chris Gethard's brother.
Uh-huh.
Who, now did you guys...
We had to make a scroll for him.
You know what would be a good drinking game? Being with you and Gregulator, every time one of you drops Chris Gethard's name, you drink. That would be, you'd have to hold the drinking game in the emergency room. Because he would suffer from alcohol poisoning in like 15 minutes.
I told him if he was serious about comedy, he'd change his last name.
You're brutal. You are brutal, Fred. So, you told me that John Starks, probably my all-time favorite basketball player, was on the Chris Gethard show.
Yeah.
Was he cool?
Oh, he was the man.
Yeah, he's great, right?
He brought these rip-away, that's like his clothing brand, where it's just warm-ups that you can rip away or whatever. It was very dope.
He's cool,
awesome. Dude. Brought all his kids. It was awesome. He was down for everything. He was like, he was very, you know, willing to take part in the foolishness.
Uh-huh.
It was probably the most low budget thing he's ever.
Yeah. Meanwhile, he's like, you know, I was an NBA All-Star at one point and like played in front of 20,000 people a night cheering my name. And now I'm on. Who's Murph again? Like Chris, like John Starks is like, hey, my name's Murph. Like Murph introducing himself to John Starks. He's like, oh, I gotta figure some stuff out over here.
It's always fun to wonder who owes what favor for stuff to happen, you know?
Uh huh.
And like, I'll give you this really short story. Like, you'll enjoy this, and I will. It has to be super anonymous. So I know.
Wait, so of course you're saying it on the show. It has to be super anonymous. Calling the show.
No.
Oh, you are like a. You're such a gossip, Fred. You love it. You love gossip. That's a crazy thing. What's the craziest thing? I'll say this. Of everybody I've ever met in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Who gossips? You know who gossips? Most of these dudes are the worst gossips.
Oh, yeah.
And women get the worst rap with that.
That's true. That's absolutely
dudes,
true.
Dudes are the worst, pettiest, sneakiest call. Oh, did I tell you the thing? Did I? Like, just quick. Can't wait to tell the person who would get a laugh out of it. It is... In my life, it is all dudes doing that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, we're awful. Masculinity is awful.
So what's this anonymous thing you want to tell me?
I've got a couple.
Go ahead. The listeners want to hear this anonymous thing.
As broad and as anonymous as I can tell, but I got to say it
play on air. So this guy.
And I want to say this, first of all. I love gossip. I'm going to say this. I love gossip. Love it so much. I'm not being judgy with that. I want every morsel I can get. Don't think this is me saying to people, stop giving it to me. I want more. If anything, this is my chance to finally say, I want more.
All right. So I already told you about my buddy who runs a very legit marijuana business. But, you know, he comes from a not very legit place. And he had a buddy who wanted to go legit. And he's like, he heard that my friend does, like, production, can do, like, editing, shoot video, all that. So he's like, hey, I have an idea for a pilot. He goes, okay, I'll do it. And then he goes, it's going to be a cooking show, but with, like, celebrities, right? And this is a very hood dude. And, like, my buddy's like, okay. And then he calls me, and he goes, hey, my buddy calls me. He's like, hey, do you know who this is? You like sports. Do you know who this guy is? He's like, what do you mean? He's like, I'm working on this cooking show and for this person that we know who is very, very heavy. And he's like, oh, who's the first guest? Some guy named Rasheed Wallace? I was like, what?
Rasheed Wallace, my other all-time favorite basketball player. Isn't it funny? Some people are just like, oh, I like Michael Jordan.
Uh-huh.
I like guys in basketball who are just like, either, it's like, why would you like the perfect person?
Hell no.
Right?
Allen Iverson forever.
Yeah, Allen Iverson. Rasheed Wallace. Ben Wallace.
Oh yeah!
I'm gonna cheer for it. And these people. Hey, you give the Golden State Warriors such a hard time. Yeah, I do. You know why? Because they're winning. I root for the people who don't win. You know why? Because I don't win. You don't think what are you thinking? You start cheering for. Be like watching Caddyshack and be cheering for Judge Smales.
But that just like breaks you eventually. You can't like root for the East forever. It's just you're gonna. You can't watch. You can't root for the Raptors.
No, thank you, Fred. All right, you're losing the plot here a little.
Sorry. But yeah, it was like
you can be honest with me.
What's up?
None of these people exist in this story.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine.
This is just you. This is something.
Yeah, I made up this weirdly convoluted story about a web-only cooking show. And this guy's idea of his way out of the street.
Uh-huh.
To call it a favorite.
Now, what's Chris? What's Chris want for breakfast tomorrow, Fred?
He usually likes something probiotic. There's like a specific sandwich that he likes.
Uh-huh.
Like in Midtown, I forgot that it's like Life Bread Life or something like that. Uh-huh. Yeah, he usually sends one of us scurrying over there to fetch him something.
Sure.
As he washes it down with some soda that he has no idea where it came from.
Kind of landing somewhere back at zero again, though. He'll have the healthy sandwich and a soda that he's just not sure what is going on with it.
It's cane sugar. It's good for you.
Yeah. Yeah, sugar is good for you. Everybody knows that, right? Now, look, Fred, when am I going to see you again?
Very soon. We only got 2 episodes. Very soon.
I'm gonna come by. I gotta come by.
You do, man.
I gotta
really
check
do.
And see what you're. You know, I gotta, what you want, I gotta man. Watch you like, work.
I want to see you shove a nerd on your way in, and just.
You're
just
out
like
of your
cut
court.
The line. That'd be.
You're so punchy tonight. Listen to you.
I got so many things. I want you to go watch that video of Drake complaining to his mom when he.
You know what, Fred? You know, just when I'm think I'm done with you, then you mention. I didn't know there was a video where Drake is complaining to his mother. What's he complaining about?
He complains to his mom. He complains to his mom because. His mom got him the wrong sandwich. there's a sandwich they've done.
And where? How old is he doing this?
He's very young. He's like 19, 20.
Uh-huh. That's not that young to be moaning about a sandwich. Is he on the set of Degrassi Junior High?
No, it's in his mom's home, I think. His mom came home with groceries, and then his mom's like, he like looks through the groceries for his sandwich, mm-hmm. and then he's disappointed that he didn't get the tuna melt that he wanted.
You know what they say. He started at the bottom, right? Right. Bottom of what?
Right. Yeah, I mean, he had to share an Acura Integra with his uncle, I think. That was like a real struggle.
Yeah, when he's talking about having to borrow his uncle's car to drive to auditions, I guess. Is that what he's doing? It's really?
Also, for the arc,
let me just say this. What kind of person brags about the pool they have in Toronto? You can use it like for like 6 weeks. You've got like 6 weeks to use it. This guy's bragging about how huge his pool is in Toronto. Unless you're renting it out to the Edmonton Oilers to skate on for the rest of the year. Unless you're playing that New Year's Day game on it.
All right, man.
Look, Fred, you know I love you, buddy.
Oh, yeah. I love you too, Tom.
I'll talk to you later. You have a great night. Makes it sound like he was going to curse. Cut him off at the... Boop, 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 boop. Wow. Oh, my goodness. It's after... it's time to end the show. I want to say to you, the Best Show listener... Oh. Hey, Mike. And Pat and Dudio. Here, I have something for you. I have something for these guys. Here. There's a Goo Goo cluster for you, Mike.
Oh, very nice.
I told you I'd bring you Goo Goo clusters.
I was worried it was going to be another angry wafer.
No. There you go. Of course. Thank you. Dig in. Do whatever you want, Mike. It's that point in the night where Mike's just looking at me sideways. I'm never comfortable with this part of the night. He could turn one wrong word down the home stretch of the show. He's got that meanness in his eyes now. I'm looking out and I see a lot of honkies. Sitting on a lot of money. Next week, 1 hour. Get your impression of me ready, because for 1 hour, I will host a contest where you call up and do impressions of me, and the winner, I'm going to give we'll figure out a legitimately good prize to the winner. Tom Prescience next week. Boop, boop, boop. Most famous person listening? I guess that goes to Coco. Congratulations, Coco. You were the most famous person listening to tonight's show. Wally Wacky Man is alive. And I think we can say goodnight. What's going on, Dudio? You're in Montreal?
Yeah, Friday and Saturday, Montreal Sketchfest.
Montreal Sketchfest this Friday and Saturday. You can check out Bridge and Tunnel. If you're in Montreal, please check them out. Friday and Saturday at Montreal Sketchfest. They will be there. Pat, anything? Nothing. No plugs for Pat. Mike, you're at Masses?
Yes.
Mike's at Masses on Sunday. That's about it. Thanks for listening, everybody. I, on the way out here, I want to play something. There's this really great band on John Solomon's label, Comedy Minus One. 7-A-V-A-K. How would you say that? Savak or Savak? I'm so bad with that. I'm sorry, guys. I never said I could pronounce band names. We're going to listen to something on the way out here. The record is called Best of Luck in Future Endeavors, and the label is Comedy Minus One. Let me find the link here. It's just, just comedyminusone.com. And the album is out. Savak, I'm being told, by frontman for the band Hound, Perry Shaw. Thank you, Perry. Let's listen to a song called, it's a good song, the first song on the album's good. Alive in Shadows. Best Show will be back next week. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We will be back, and have a great week.